Hey there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and it's great to be back with everybody again on another one of my podcasts. And this one may actually be the longest podcast and maybe the most technical podcast that I've ever done. It's one that I've long kind of wanted to do and thought about doing and have kind of debated whether I should do it, which I'll get into in a minute. But I decided to go ahead and do it. I think some people could benefit from some of this information. What I'm going to talk about in this podcast is installing custom ROMs on an Android phone. And what I mean by that is basically replacing the firmware or the software, the version of Android that originally comes on your phone from the manufacturer, replacing that with a different version of Android. And there are several benefits to doing that. So we'll get into that and why you would want to do that. There are several reasons, and there are even a couple why you may not want to do that, which I will cover also. Then we'll get into which manufacturers of phones are the best to get if that's something you want to do. If you know you're getting a new phone, which ones to think about, and which manufacturers to avoid, because there's some things to consider there also. Then we'll get into what ROMs are available, some of the major ones, and where you can get them from. There are several places on the internet which have some websites that I'll give you. And then we'll get into some manufacturer-specific things. Well, actually, before we get into that, I'll give you some information, and it really helps to know this stuff. And had I known all of it when I first started, it would have made things a lot easier for me. How the memory, the flash memory, is divided up and partitioned on an Android phone, because knowing that greatly simplifies the understanding of what you have to do to install a custom ROM. Then we'll get into what needs to be done for some of the major manufacturers. Actually, I'm going to cover three because that's what I have experience with, but they're pretty major. HTC, Sony, and Samsung. And HTC and Sony are actually fairly similar. Samsung is different, but in some ways it's actually easier, but it is totally different. And then once you get what's called a custom recovery, once you get that installed, and I'll go into what that is a little bit later, but just suffice to say that's something you have to do. Then it's a little more similar among all the different phones, what you have to do at that point. And then last but not least, what I'll show you is once you have a custom ROM installed, do you have to go through all of that every single time you want to update, like to a new build? No, definitely not. Actually, it's very easy to install a new build of a ROM, even with outside help, with an application called ROM Manager. And I'll show you that on my Sony Xperia Pro. There's a new build of Android 4.2 that I'm going to install. I've got 4.2 on it now, but this is a new build and it updates the kernel to version 3 from version 2. And it's a newer build of a Cyanogen, which is the ROM I'm using. So we'll do that also. So that's kind of what I'm going to cover. This is going to be long, probably, and somewhat technical. So you may want to grab something to drink. Feel free to go back and read or listen to any parts that you might need to again, because it is pretty technical. The first time you do this, I would say if you're going to do this on your phone, find a time when you're not on any time constraint, when you can just take your time, one small step at a time, and you're not forced to rush, because this is not something that you want to rush through. Once you do this a few times, you'll find that it is second nature. I got a couple of new Samsung phones recently, and I was able to do it in about 10 or 15 minutes once I had the files. It took me longer to download the files that I needed than it to actually do the installation. So that's one thing I would suggest. Okay, a couple things I want to say right up front before we go any further. One reason why I debated doing this is because there is a small risk that you may brick your device by doing this. Now, bricking, of course, means you get it into a state where you can't recover and it basically no longer functions at all. Having said that, I've done this on 7 or 8 different phones, and I've done this for a few friends of mine's phones, and I've never bricked a phone. With the exception of a few things, which I'll point out, it's pretty difficult to actually brick it. Even if you were to install the wrong ROM and your device wouldn't boot, more than likely you'd still be able to reflash you know, the correct ROM. You might need sighted help to do it, but it could still be done. But, you know, there is always unforeseen circumstances. Something may happen, and it is something that you need to be aware of, that, you know, there is a small chance of that happening, and, you know, if that is a concern for you, then you don't want to continue this. It's not a good idea. And one reason why I was leery of doing this podcast is because I know with social networking today, with Twitter and everything else, a lot of people use that for their ranting ground. And, you know, I could just see, you know, somebody listening to this, going and trying it, and maybe accidentally breaking their phone and just posting something on there. Oh, you know, Mike told me to do this, and it messed up my phone. It's terrible. And it just, that's one thing that I want to avoid, obviously. So if you decide to do this, it is at your own risk. I'll give you all the information I have. And again, if you follow that, generally you should be fine, but just understand that there is a small risk involved. The other thing is, the information I'm going to give you generally applies, but because of the diversity of devices that run Android, there's just no way for me to cover every possible device and tell you exactly how to do that. So basically what I'm attempting to do with this is give you all the general information that applies across the board. Now, there are going to be some differences, which I'll point out, but to basically give you enough information that you can then apply that and, you know, modify it as needed for your device, but enough to get you started in the right direction. So, you know, that having been said, let's go ahead and get started here. So the first thing, I actually wrote some notes for this podcast because there's a lot of things I wanted to cover and I don't want to miss anything. So the first thing to talk about is, why would you want to install a custom ROM and replace what comes on your phone? Well, there are actually several reasons for that. One of them is you can install a newer version of Android than what is provided on the phone or what the manufacturer or carrier has updated it to. I'll give you an example. I have several phones here. I've got, the Sony Xperia Pro and the Xperia Mini Pro. Those are made by Sony. Sony only officially ever updated those to Android 4.0, which is an ice cream sandwich. I have a Samsung Galaxy Relay, which just recently was updated to 4.1, and a Samsung Captivate Glide, which was only officially ever updated to 4.0. I have a Nexus 1, which was the first Google phone. That was only ever officially updated to 2.3 by Google. And then I have the HTC MyTouch 4G Slide, and the HTC Desire Z. Those were only ever updated to 2.3 officially. All of those phones that I just mentioned are running Android 4.2.2, which is the newest one, because I was able to do a custom ROM. Now, some of the older ones, like the Nexus 1, I have one more, the HTC Cha-Cha, which looks kind of like a BlackBerry. It's got a keyboard, but it's not a slider. That one is running 4.1. They haven't done a 4.2 ROM for that, and they may not. It's kind of a lower-end phone, and it doesn't have a whole lot of memory. Same thing with the Nexus 1. It's an older phone, and it doesn't have a lot of memory. I was able to get 4.2 installed, but there's not a whole lot of room to install applications. So I don't use those two phones very much just because of the memory limitation. These other ones that I mentioned that are running 4.2, they are running it. They're running it very nicely, and I have plenty of space left over for apps. And actually, we'll get into that in a second, which is another reason why you might want to do this. But these phones can definitely run a lot newer versions of Android than what the manufacturers update them to. And usually when you do a custom ROM, you can update a lot faster to the newest version of Android than, you know, with manufacturers. They want to put their own customization on it. You have to wait for carrier approval. And when you do a custom ROM, you avoid all that stuff. So that's one reason, and probably one of the biggest ones, why you might want to install a custom ROM, especially because accessibility keeps getting better and better with newer versions of Android. Another reason is installing a custom ROM gets rid of any carrier bloatware or any applications that the manufacturer provides, as well as it may, depending on what ROM you choose, get rid of any manufacturer overlay. A lot of these manufacturers like to customize their home screen and even modify some of the apps, like the phone app or, you know, the contacts app. They kind of change things around a little bit. So when you install a custom ROM, you get rid of all that. And you can, if you want, you can have a very graphical version of Android. But for most blind people, what you're probably going to want is a very stock Android, basically no customization. You want it basically the way it comes from Google. And doing a custom ROM lets you do that. And again, it also gets rid of a lot of the carrier bloatware and things like that. I know on my phones, the Sony in particular, I remember, I had like twice as much memory as with the Sony ROM for installing applications. And you can control exactly what applications you have. And if there's certain ones, even that are installed by default, you can remove them usually with custom ROMs. And I've done that with some of mine. So you can have exactly what you want and what you don't want. So it makes Android even more flexible than it already is, you know, out of the box, because you have total control over your device when you do custom ROMs. Also, a lot of the ROMs like Cyanogen in particular, that's one of the most popular ones, and that's the one I use. It offers you things that none of the manufacturer ROMs will give you. You can have it like automatically set it to automatically switch profiles at different times of the day, you know, like quiet hours, or you can even customize the your CPU, your processor speed, and that type of stuff. I don't do that too much. I usually do it at the defaults, but it is available if you want to do that. Also, the custom ROMs provide what's called root access, and what that basically means is, again, you have control. You can uninstall any apps that are installed by default if you don't want them. So those are some of the reasons why you would do a custom ROM. The other cool thing about that is when you do that to get a newer version of Android, for example, like I said, a lot of my phones had only, you know, officially 2.3 or 4.0. When you do a custom ROM, you get all of the features that version of Android offers. I know Apple, you know, they offered iOS version 6 when that came out to everything, the iPhone 3GS, the 4, the 4S, and the 5. But with the 3GS and the 4, it's like, well, we're going to give you iOS 6, but we're not going to include some of the features. We're not going to give you everything. And I just got a text message. I'm going to pause this while I read that. I will be right back. Alrighty. Sorry about that. Just got a text message from a friend of mine. I wanted to reply to that. That's the beauty of pausing stuff, though. It's just a brief second when you listen to this. But anyway, so Apple provided iOS 6 to those phones, but they didn't give you all the features. I know the turn-by-turn directions wasn't included unless you have the 4S or the 5. That's not the case with these custom ROMs. When you install a new version of Android, you get all of the benefits. So, you know, with the 4.2, you get the really, really good accessibility that Android provides now. You get the Google Now, which is a really cool thing. And I'll wait and get that text message later. I won't worry about that at this point. You get all the benefits when you install a custom ROM. It's not a partial thing. You get all or nothing, which is really the way it should be. And that's really what Apple should have done with iOS, I think. You know, if you're not going to provide all the features of the update, then why even bother? That's kind of my view on that. So those are a lot of the reasons why you would want to install a custom ROM on your phone, and they're numerous. There are a couple reasons why you may not want to. Like I said before, there is a small risk of bricking the phone, although, like I say, I've never bricked a phone, and it's really, with the exception of some of the Samsung phones, and I'll explain why that's the case when we get to the Samsung phones, why that might be possible, it's really hard to brick them, because it's, even if you were to install the wrong ROM, it's sort of like, let's say you're installing a new, like installing Windows on a computer. You maybe have a bad install for some reason, or you install the wrong driver and it makes your computer lock up with a blue screen or something like that. It doesn't mean the computer's totally destroyed and useless. It just means you may have to wipe it and redo it with the correct install or the correct driver. That's kind of what this is too. And, you know, I've had cases where, and this is another reason why you may not want to, because especially if you're dealing with what are called nightly builds of the different ROMs, which basically are the newest source code, they haven't really been tested, you may install a ROM and find that your device doesn't boot. I actually had that last week with one of my Samsungs, my Galaxy Relay. I installed a new build of Cyanogen 10.1, which is based on Android 4.2. And it had a bad kernel. So the device didn't boot. It just sat there. But the phone was not bricked. Actually, when you heard those message tones, that was the same phone. You can still reflash a new ROM once that's fixed. So that's another thing to consider. You know, if you end up installing a ROM that has a problem, you know, you might have a major bug to deal with until it's fixed. So that's another thing to think about. Also, usually when you do that, it voids your warranty. So if something were to happen to the phone and you took it in and they found that, you know, you had installed a custom ROM on it, even if it's not related to that. For example, if your screen breaks or something like that and they find there's a custom ROM on it, they may not honor the warranty. In theory, I think they should. I could understand, you know, if you were doing that and you bricked it, yeah, that's your own risk. But if the screen breaks or something like that, that has absolutely nothing to do with a custom ROM. And I think they should still honor the warranty in cases like that. That's my opinion, though. I don't know if they will. So that's something to keep in mind. If you do that, in many cases, it will void your warranty. So those are some reasons why you may not want to do that. But in my opinion, the reasons to do it far outweigh that. No question. I mean, when I got my two Samsung phones, the Galaxy Relay and the Captivate Glide, I did it the first day. Got them home. I didn't even mess with the stock firmware on the device. I already knew that, you know, they could run Cyanogen, which is, again, the ROM I use, a newer version, and I installed it right away. I didn't even mess with installing apps with the stock firmware. So, you know, so again, the benefit far outweighs the reasons not to, but, you know, it is something to consider. And again, if you're afraid of, you know, bricking your phone, then, you know, you may not want to do that. And that's fine, because it is a very technical thing, and, you know, the first couple of times you do it, you know, it can seem like a lot to deal with. But like anything, as you do it more, it becomes second nature for you. All right, I think that's everything I wanted to cover in the first section. I'm going to pause this and grab a little something to drink myself and check this text message, and then we will go on to our next topic in this podcast. So I will be right back with you. Okay, we're back here. And the next thing I wanted to talk to you about is what manufacturers of phones are the best for doing a custom ROMs. Some work better than others. Now, the ones I have had experience with are, or the ones I'd say that I can definitely recommend are HTC, the Sony phones, and Samsung. Those three definitely work well, with a couple of exceptions, and I'll tell you what those are in a minute. I don't know about the LGs, how well those work, except for the Nexus 4, which is made by LG. That's a Google phone, and that one, you can definitely do a custom ROM with that. Other than that, though, I'm not sure about the LGs. But what you really need to do to install a custom ROM is you have to do what's called unlocking the bootloader. And we'll get into more about what that involves later. But suffice to say, that's what you need to be able to do. And, HTC and Sony provide official ways to do that on most of their phones. Samsung, with a couple of exceptions, which again I'll tell you in a minute, their bootloaders are already unlocked. So you don't have to do really anything except install the custom recovery. The one you want to avoid at this point is Motorola. Now, hopefully, since Google has purchased Motorola, hopefully that will change. But in the meantime, the Motorola phones, as far as I know, unless this has changed, Motorola does not provide any official way to unlock their bootloaders. You you might be able to get a custom ROM installed with some hacking methods, but again, when you start getting into that, you risk more of bricking the phone when you start doing unofficial things. So at this point, I would say just avoid Motorola. I had a couple of Motorola phones, and I actually gave them away because I couldn't do that. I was stuck on 2.3, a gingerbread with those phones, and they would have easily run it. I mean, they could have easily run the custom ROMs. The processor, the memory, all that was all there. They just, Motorola didn't allow you to do it. And unless they change that, I will never even consider getting another Motorola phone. That for me is a deal breaker. Now, there are a couple of exceptions to what I just said. The HTC One X, if you get the international version, you'll be fine. But the AT&T version, that bootloader is not unlockable. I think there is a way around that, but again, it involves much more hacking and things like that. It doesn't work with HTC's official way of doing it. And the Galaxy S3 from Samsung, the Verizon version, does have a locked bootloader, and you can't install a custom ROM, at least without doing some hacking and installing an older bootloader, which, again, is there you're getting into more risky things. Generally speaking, if you can, if you want to do this, get a phone that's not tied to a carrier. That's just factory unlocked, assuming it's GSM. Now, for CDMA, you know, Verizon and Sprint, you don't have this option. But for the GSM phones, if you can, get a carrier unlocked one or SIM unlocked phone that's not tied to a carrier. Now, having said that, I recently got the Samsung Galaxy Relay, which is only available through T-Mobile. There is no international version of that. And the Samsung Captivate Glide is only available through AT&T. There's not really a non-carrier version of that. However, I found them both on eBay SIM unlocked, so they don't have a SIM lock on them. And I did do my research beforehand, and those ROMs can easily be changed. Now, having said that, I will tell you that installing a new ROM will not SIM unlock the phone. If your phone is locked to a carrier, installing a ROM, a different ROM, will not change that. It will still be SIM locked, and you'll have to either go through the carrier or find another way if you want to SIM unlock the phone. So if that's what you're wanting to do, installing a new ROM will not help you. So the ones I can definitely recommend are HTC, Samsung, and Sony. Again, with the two exceptions that I said before, because I know those two phones, the Verizon Galaxy S3 and the HTC One X from AT&T, do not allow you to do that, at least without hacking. So that's it as far as manufacturers go, I think. Or the LG Nexus 4, if you want to do custom ROMs, if you want to get the Google phone, the Nexus 4 from LG, that one will definitely allow you to do that. So, okay, I think that's it as far as manufacturers go. Alrighty. Alright, the next thing I want to talk about is what ROMs are available, and there's a bunch of them. I mean, there's literally tons and tons of ROMs that are available. I'm going to only focus on a couple of them and kind of give you some websites to look at, and that type of thing. So what we've got is there's one called AOSP, and that is Android Open Source Project. That one is what Google puts into their source code repository. It's what runs on the Nexus phones. It's stock Android directly from Google. And sometimes developers will port that particular version of Android to other phones besides just the Google Nexus phones. So that's kind of the stock Android. Now, then there is Cyanogen, which is a very popular ROM for Android phones. It's based on the stock Android as far as they don't add any kind of skins or anything like that. The home screen is a little bit different than stock Android. And actually, at this point, at least, a lot of the icons on the default Cyanogen home screen are unlabeled. So what you'll have to do to get around that is simply install another home screen from the Play Store. Nova Launcher and Apex Launcher work very nicely and are both very accessible. But even still, that's you know, other than that, the CyanogenMod is a great ROM. That's what I use on all my phones. It's excellent. There's a lot of developers that work on it, and it's just a really, really good ROM. And it will offer you several features, like I mentioned earlier, that are not in stock Android itself. The other one is AOKP, which is Android Open Kang Project. that is sort of... It's kind of like CyanogenMod. It is a fairly stock experience, but it does let you customize more of the visual things, which don't really do us any good. And there are, again, there are several other ROMs out there. I mean, Android is open source, so you'll have people that'll take some code from one ROM branch like CyanogenMod and then maybe add some of their own things to it. I mean, there's a lot of just different things that are done. I'm going to focus mainly on CyanogenMod since that's what I use. And again, it's a very stock build of Android as far as the interface goes. And it works very well. Now, as far as where you can get these from, what you have also is what are called official and unofficial builds for different phones. So if you go to CyanogenMod, it's CyanogenMod.com. You can find a list of the officially supported devices. And I would suggest, if your device is officially supported, go ahead and go with one of those ROMs from there, because chances are it's been tested more and more of the bugs have been worked out. However, you know, there are a lot of devices that have not officially made it into the support of CyanogenMod yet, and you know, they are still very good. The Galaxy Relay that I'm using, the Captivate Glide, those two are not officially supported yet by CyanogenMod, but the developers of those two ROMs have done a great job with it, and they're very stable. I would have no problem recommending them. Also, the HTC Desire Z, that one, the 4.2 ROM is not officially supported on the CyanogenMod page yet, but again, you know, it's very, very stable. So CyanogenMod.com is the place to go for official support for the devices, and they also have some links to some unofficially supported ones. Another great place to go is XDA Developers. Now, this site has a lot of stuff to sift through, but it's worth it. And I'll give you a couple of tips to help you along. This site contains unofficial ROMs, you know, the developers have done, and a lot of the kind of nightly build stuff, bleeding edge stuff. So again, there's more of a risk of bugs, but again, you're much more likely to find a ROM for your particular device. the site is forum, F-O-R-U-M, period, xda-developers.com. And once you get there, go down to where it says devices, and then there'll be like a list of things. If you just click on the all link, it'll give you, it's a page with 4,000 different links on it. But each device kind of has its own forum, and then what you'll want to do is choose the Android development link for your particular device. So like you'll have Galaxy S3 international version, and then you'll have questions and answers, you'll have accessories, and then you'll have one Android development for that phone. And where you'll find the ROMs and the recoveries, which again I'll get into later what recoveries, what how that works, that's where you'll find all of that posted. So the forum.xda-developers.com site is a great thing too. And again, you know, all the information I'm going to give you here is general, so you are going to, you know, you may have to do a little, you know, research and digging to find, you know, a ROM for your phone, but it'll be well worth it if you do. So that's kind of how that works. So that's kind of what some of the ROMs are and where you can get them, or just do a Google search. Like I know when I did the for the Galaxy Relay, I just typed into Google, you know, Samsung CyanogenMod Samsung Galaxy Relay, and you know, was able to find that. So, you know, but those, the sites I've given you should definitely get you started as far as where to find the ROM files and that kind of thing. The ROM files that you download, actually, there's usually two files that you install. You can install other ones too, but you install the ROM itself and then the file that contains the Google apps. And they're zip files, is what they are. So you could even download one and even extract it on your computer if you wanted to see what was inside the different files. They're just they're standard zip files. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to talk about then is if you decide you want to do this, what preparations do you have to make as far as installing on your computer and what to do on your device and that type of thing? The first thing I would suggest is go ahead and install any updates to your device that the manufacturer does offer. You can go under settings and then about phone, and there's usually a software updates option, or sometimes you can install updates on your computer. If there are any software updates for your device, you're provided by your manufacturer or your carrier, go ahead and install those. Now, you might be asking, well, if I'm going to replace the software on my device, why should I bother doing that? What's the point? The reason is that sometimes that will install a radio update. And the radio basically is the software that makes that controls the network connections, your Wi-Fi, your connection to the cell network. It's also called the baseband. It's what controls the radio hardware in your phone. And that is not part of CyanogenMod or anything like that. That does have to come from the manufacturer. And so the only way to really update that, there are other ways actually, but that part can be a little more difficult. It's because phones are legally required to be a certain way. That's a little bit harder to update in a lot of cases. It can be done. There are ways, but it is more difficult. And so to make sure you have the newest baseband, go ahead and install any updates for your device. And sometimes, especially for some of the HTC phones, you have to do that also in order to, because some of their phones, when they originally came out, they did not have an unlockable bootloader. HTC provided that later. And the only way to get that is to install the updates that are offered. So install all the updates, and you may have to do that a couple of times. I know with my MyTouch 4G Slide, I had to check for updates twice, and it found it both times. So make sure that any provided updates for the device are already installed. Okay, then on your computer, you're going to need to install some things. You need to install the Android SDK, the Android Software Developer Kit. Now, on a Mac, I'm not sure about Linux, unfortunately, having never really used it much. I've played with it, but that's the extent of it. But either way, you want to go to developer.android.com. If you're using a Mac, there's two versions that are provided. Well, on Windows, there's 32 and 64-bit, of course, and you would install whichever one is appropriate for you. And on the Mac, there's just one, too, as far as the type of, or 32 or 64, but there's just one for Mac OS X. But there are two kind of flavors of the SDK. You can kind of download the entire thing, or you can download like an installer that will download and install the different components that you choose. On the Mac, you can do either one. It doesn't matter. On Windows, last I checked, the one where you can just extract it from the zip file and copy it to a folder, that one did not include the USB driver, and you need that in order for this to work, to install the custom ROMs. So Mac, it doesn't really matter which one you get. If you want to do the custom install one, you can, or just download the newest one. It's a zip file, just maybe extract it someplace in your home folder, and you're set to go. And for Windows, like I say, get the custom install one. And when you run that, you're going to see a bunch of checkboxes. It's kind of like a tree view. And you can actually expand it to see the different things underneath. there are two things that you need to install on Windows. One is the platform tools, and the other one is the USB driver. So you need to make sure that those two things are installed. On Windows, also, you'll want to install the newest version of Java, which you can get from java.com. And again, if it's 32 or 64-bit, just install the appropriate one. Usually, it will install... the SDK will install to usually C:\programfiles or programfiles x86 if you have 64-bit. / I believe it's Android SDK or something to that effect. It'll be obvious which, once it's installed where it's at. And then within the folder, actually for anything, whether it's Mac or Windows, whatever folder the SDK is installed in, the folder that we are going to be most interested in underneath that is the one called Platform Tools. It's platform-tools is what it is. That's where most things are going to take place. And within that folder, there are really two programs that we're going to be interacting with. One of them is called Fastboot, and the other one is called ADB, which stands for Android Debug Bridge. On Windows, of course, these will have a .exe extension. On the Mac, they will not have that, of course. And these are text-based files, so you'll be interacting with them either from a command line in Windows or from the terminal on the Mac. On the Mac, also, when you run those programs, make sure that you do \/ first, because the way Unix operating systems work, when you type in a file name, they, by default, look in your path to find it, not the current directory, which is kind of the opposite of how DOS used to work. So when you do \/ and then a file name, that tells it, look in the current directory for what I'm giving you. So those are the things you'll need to install. Now, as far as drivers go, some of the other phones, and the websites will provide the instructions, and we'll get into more of that later, but for the Nexus phones, that's all you need to do. For the HTC phones, the Sony and the Samsung phones, you do need to install a few other drivers, and I'll tell you which ones they are as we go along here. But again, definitely get the Android SDK, and again, on Windows, the Java installed, and then on Windows, you want to make sure that you install the platform tools and the USB driver. So install those. Now for the Samsung phones, Samsung phones work a little bit differently. They're pretty easy to work with, but the software that you need to install there, and you can find it. I don't have the exact site. Again, that XDA developer site that I mentioned to you has it. But do a Google search for Odin. It's ODIN. And if you just type in like Odin space Samsung, you'll find it. The newest version as of this recording is 3.7, I think. So that's what you'll need to install. And then on that same thread, when you find it, the link for Odin, there's also a place to install the Samsung drivers that Odin uses to work. If you can't find the drivers for some reason, you can install what's called the Kaya's software from Samsung directly. That's what's used officially to update Samsung phones. So that's what you have to install for the Samsung phones. And again, install the Android SDK too. With the Samsung phones, you will still need it actually. It still helps to have it. So you'll want to do that. Okay, I know that was a lot to cover. And again, feel free to go back and listen to this section again if something's not clear as to what needs to be installed. But assuming you've done that, then let's go ahead and go to the next section. We're moving right along here. Okay, for this next part, it's going to be more just informal. We're not really going to do anything in this section, but the information I'm going to give you is going to be invaluable. Knowing this what I'm going to cover here will make installation easier, just because you'll have more of an understanding of what's actually going on and what's taking place. So definitely not something you want to skip. What I want to talk to you about in this section is how the memory in an Android phone is divided up. It's divided up into different partitions. And if you've dealt with hard drives at all, you know a partition is a section of storage space. A lot of times with a hard drive, of course, in most cases you might just partition it all as one big thing, and that's fine. But in your Android phone, the flash memory is divided up into different sections. Usually at least five, sometimes more, but in most cases at least five. And understanding what each one is makes kind of, again, understanding what's going on with installing a custom ROM a bit easier. So I want to go through and kind of tell you what each partition does, what it stores, what's on it, and also give you a bit of an idea of how applications and things like that work on the Android platform. So a lot of good information in this that I think you'll find useful. Okay, let me list the different partitions, and you might even be able to tell from the names what they do, and I'll give you an explanation afterward. So we have the boot partition, we have the recovery partition, we have the system partition, we have the data partition, and we have the cache partition. Now, what these are, let's kind of look at them in more detail. The boot partition, as its name suggests, that is where the kernel is actually stored. That's usually the first thing that runs once you're... Well, it's not the very first thing that runs. That's the bootloader. But once... think of it this way. The bootloader is sort of the equivalent of the BIOS on a computer. That's really what runs first as soon as you turn on your phone. Once that initializes, then the first thing that happens is the phone looks at the boot partition, and that's what actually launches the kernel. You can kind of think of it as when loading Windows, one of the first files that loads is like in the root of your C drive, it's called NTLDR, NT Loader, that type of thing. So that's what's on the boot partition. It's the kernel. Once the phone initializes, that's the first thing that loads, and that kind of initiates the rest of the boot process. So that contains your kernel. Okay? Recovery. You may not see that very much, but what that is, it's sort of the equivalent, for those of you who have used Macs, you'll understand this. If you're running a newer version of the Mac operating system, you know that when your system boots up, you can press Command R, hold the Command key and press R, and that will boot the computer into a recovery. It's sort of a very stripped down sort of operating system that's designed to help you, you know, reinstall your operating system and things like that. And on an Android phone, at least the one out of the box that comes from the manufacturers, it will let you, it's not accessible, unfortunately, it doesn't speak interactively, but you can wipe the data, which basically does a factory reset. You can install updates, but only updates that the manufacturer approves. And that's what we're going to get into later, as far as that's why we want to replace that. And that's that, and we'll get into that later. But suffice to say, the recovery partition stores sort of a mini operating system that's used to replace or update or repair your main operating system, the Android itself. Okay? Okay, the system partition is kind of just what it says. That is where the main Android operating system is stored, as well as any applications that are bundled with the phone. So when you get a phone and you take it out of the box, you know, and you first start it up and you notice there's a lot of applications already there, those, along with the Android operating system itself, are in the system partition. Now, a lot of times, of course, what will happen is there are newer versions of those applications that are released than what come with the phone, and we'll get into that in a second, how that works. But suffice to say that the system partition is where the main operating system is stored, as well as applications that are bundled with the phone. And depending on how much memory you have on your phone, these partitions may be different sizes. For example, let's see. I think on my Sony Xperia Pro, I think the system partition by default, there are ways to change that if you really need to. Usually you won't. And that goes way beyond the scope of what I'm going to talk about here. Usually there's no need to resize the partitions. Usually with any modern phone, the defaults will be just fine. But the system partition, I believe, is around 300 megs, or maybe a little more, 340 megs, something like that, on the Sony phones. Now, on my Galaxy Relay, for example, I believe it has a lot more built-in flash memory, so the system partition is like 700 or 800 megs, something like that, I think. So it varies by phone, but usually with modern phones, there's more than enough space to install newer versions of Android, so that's not an issue. Okay, the fourth partition then is data. And the data partition is where all the user data is stored. So when you make phone calls, when you add contacts, all of that is stored on the data partition, as well as any applications that you install. So we were talking earlier about, let's say like a lot of phones come with Google Maps, for example. And there's a version of that in the system partition. Well, when there's an update of that from the Play Store and you install that, then that gets installed to the data partition, and what happens then is if there's a version of an application in your system partition and then there's a newer version in the data partition is the one that's used. And that's why when you look at your applications, if you go under settings and then applications, for those applications, if you go into each one, you'll see where it says uninstall updates. And what that does is it removes the one that's in the data partition and reverts back to the one that came with the phone. So that's why that says uninstall updates instead of just uninstall. So the data partition is, again, where all the user data is stored. When any application runs, whether it's a system application or one that you've installed, it stores its data there. And when you do a factory reset on a phone, that's what's actually wiped. It basically reformats or deletes that data partition and starts from scratch. All right, the last partition then, you really don't interact with it very much, but it's the cache partition. And just as its name suggests, think of it as a swap file or something to that effect. It's where applications may store things temporarily or permanently unless you clear the cache, which there are ways to do. But that's a partition you may not need to, you know, interact with too much, but I just wanted to mention it because it is there. And a lot of times when you update to a new build of a ROM, it will automatically wipe the cache for you, which will explain why it takes a little bit longer to boot the phone when a new build of a ROM is installed. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But so those are the five partitions that are usually on an Android phone. Now, sometimes there are exceptions. For example, these Sony phones, at least the Xperia Pro and the Xperia Mini Pro, those are the only ones I've dealt with, they don't really have a recovery partition. The recovery is part of the boot partition itself. So when you install a new kernel for the custom ROM, that usually also installs the custom recovery. But everything else that I said applies. Okay, so those are the partitions that are usually found on our Android phone. Now, the other thing I want to tell you about, and again, this will come in very handy, is the different ways that you can boot an Android phone. Now, the way you're probably most used to is you just boot the phone regularly. It boots the operating system and off you go. But there are a couple other ways that a phone can be booted. You can boot into the recovery, which again, that's kind of the mini operating system that's used to update or replace, you know, the operating system. The other thing you can do is boot into what's called the bootloader. On Samsung phones, that's called download mode. On the Sony and the HTC ones and those kind of things, it's called, or fast boot mode is what it's usually really called. The best way I can think of to describe that, although it's not a very accurate description, but it's at the same level, is it's kind of like when you access the BIOS on a computer. you haven't really loaded any operating system. You're just interacting with the lowest level of the phone that you can. But it's important to understand those two modes, because they will come in handy to know that when we install that. So usually booting into recovery is what you will do to actually install the actual zip files that you've downloaded. Booting a phone into fast boot mode or download mode, you use that when you want to actually install the recovery into the recovery partition. So again, the main thing to keep in mind at this point is just those other the ways that you can boot up a phone. Normal mode is, of course, the most common. Then you've got recovery, and you have fast boot mode. For most of the manufacturers on the Samsung phones, it's called download mode. And that's kind of the lowest level that you can get to. Okay, so that having been said, I'm just kind of racking my brain here to see if there's anything else. Let's see. We'll make that the next section. What I was thinking about there. So that's kind of a overview of the partitions on a phone and the different ways you can boot a phone. And understanding those will make things very easier when we actually start doing the install and that kind of thing. Again, if you find some of this overwhelming, it's a lot to take in, and I know that. But again, you can go back, listen to each section until you understand it. And, certainly I know had I had all this information when I first started, it would have made things easier for me. So that's why I wanted to pass it along, and hopefully, some people will find it beneficial. At least, again, enough to take it and then apply it to their own device. All right, let's take another little break, shall we? Take a stretch. I'm going to do that and go grab a little more to drink, and then we will move on to the next section, which will be about what we have to do to get these phones to let us install custom ROMs, I think. That's what we're going to cover next. Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about, and you'll hear these terms kind of tossed around quite a bit on the email lists and things like that, and I want to kind of tell you what they mean, and especially, when installing custom ROMs, you'll hear things like rooting a phone or unlocking the bootloader, and some people think that those are actually the same thing. They're not. They are different, and I want to tell you what each one of those mean, but before I do, again, let's take a step back and look at how Android normally works with the stock firmware that comes with most manufacturer, on the phone itself when you first get it. When you use most phones as they come, you don't have root access, so you can't modify the system software. Think of it as very similar to a regular user on a computer. Now, a lot of times regular users on computers cannot install applications even. Whereas, of course, you can install apps on a phone, but you cannot install them as system apps, which means if you do a factory reset, they disappear. So that's a fairly good analogy. You don't have any kind of admin rights on a phone when you get it. You can install applications. They go into the data partition, but modifying the recovery, modifying any of the kernel, modifying any of the system stuff, that's not permitted. You can't do that. So what rooting basically does is it, and that can sometimes be used to, and it's sometimes enough to install to do a custom ROM. That will actually, if you're able to root your phone. And I'm not going to focus too much on that in this case, because if you install a custom ROM, most of those already have root access already. But if you root a phone, what it does allow you to do then is you can definitely modify the system things and uninstall like any apps that may have come with the phone. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes you can actually install a different recovery also. But really, if you want to install a custom ROM, the best thing to do, and the manufacturers that I've mentioned, either it's already unlocked or they make it easy to do what's called unlocking the bootloader. And what that is normally when you first get your phone, the phone itself will not allow any other recovery or kernel or anything like that to be installed other than what the manufacturer has approved and signed for that phone. So the signature is checked, and if it doesn't match, then it will not allow you to install it. So usually when you unlock the bootloader, what it does is it removes that restriction and then allows the boot and recovery partitions to be rewritten or reflashed, basically. And as far as the system partition goes, it doesn't give you root access, but once you have a different recovery installed, which we'll get into in a second, then, and you boot into that recovery, then it is able to replace the system partition with the new ROM. So what we want to do essentially to get a custom ROM installed is we want to get rid of the recovery that comes with the phone and install a recovery that will install other zip files, not just the ones, you know, that are signed by the manufacturer. So there are two recoveries at this point that are mainly used. One is called the Clockwork Recovery, and the other one is called TWRP, Team Win Recovery Project. Very similar. They do the same thing. The interface is a little bit different, but they do the same thing. And, of course, they will do a lot more than what the stock recovery does that come with a phone. The stock recoveries from the manufacturer usually will just let you do a factory reset, install an update if it's provided and signed by the manufacturer. That's about it. These custom recoveries will do a lot more. They will, you can actually get into a shell on them, a Linux shell if you want to. You can do a lot more things, which I'm not going to go into too much. But suffice to say, that has to happen, that the recovery needs to be changed. And we need to get rid of the manufacturer's recovery and install a custom recovery for that to work. As far as where you can get the recoveries, it's phone specific. Again, check the CyanogenMod.com page and or the forum.xda-developers page. Go to the development page for your phone. You're bound to find recoveries there. So that's kind of what it means to root and or unlock the bootloader. So in order, again, for a custom ROM to be installed, the bootloader needs to be unlocked. And what we're going to do now is I will give you, I don't have really a phone at this point that we can go through the whole thing, and that would take too long, but I'll give you some general tips and sort of kind of show you the websites that you have to go to, because they provide instructions on unlocking the bootloaders. So let's start out then with the HTC phones. In order to do this, the site you're going to need to go to, and again, it will actually tell you also to install some of the things that I've already suggested to you, that you install. The one thing I didn't mention, because it was manufacturer specific, and it will, HTC will actually, the site will tell you to do this if you need to. Install HTC Sync, and what that will do is it'll install some other drivers that are needed for the computer to interface with the phone. If you're on Windows, if you're on Mac, and I assume Linux too, but I'm not sure. If you have the Android SDK, that's all you need, and that'll work just fine. So, again, the first thing to do is unlock the bootloader. One other thing I should mention. When you unlock the bootloader, it does wipe the device. It does a factory reset. It formats everything. So if you have been using your phone with the manufacturer's ROM and you've put any data on there or anything like that, you'll want to back anything up that you need to. If you sync to Google, then you'll be fine. All that will come back. But when you unlock the bootloader, it does wipe the device. So that is something that is done when you do that. Okay, so the site you're going to need to go to in order to unlock the bootloader with an HTC phone is... you don't have to type HTTP or nothing like that usually anymore, but it's htcdev.com. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm sitting in front of one of my Macintosh computers. I'm going to use the Safari browser, but if you're in Windows, this should basically apply the same way. And just kind of show you where to go to get started with this, and then the instructions on the site will take you from there. So
Finder, mail, inbox, I got my window, mail.
Let me close that.
Edit,
okay.
Text Finder.
So we're going to go to Safari here.
Finder, Safari, untitled
and
window.
We're going to go to htcdev.com.
Untitled window, HTML content.
Okay.
Link, heading level 1, link, HTC list 2, link, dev center, link, resources.
Now you will have to create an account on here. It's basic questions. It'll just ask you for your name, your email address, pick a password, all that stuff. Then I think it emails you a confirmation link. You click that and your account's good to go. It only takes a few minutes. And I think I'll have to sign in to get to that page. Let me just do a search on this page for like bootloader
enter
or something
search
like that.
Text.
You just type loader.
F-A-E-R. Unlock bootloader.
There it is.
Thumbnail. Unlock bootloader.
Well, it's not a... VoiceOver is not calling that a link.
Thumbnail. It kernel source code.
But... it is something that is clickable, I believe. So I'm just going to move to
unlock bootloader
and use the VoiceOver command to activate that and see if that does work.
Thumbnail, kernel source, end of list, heading level 3, tell us about your apps.
Let's see. Well, maybe not. Heading, let's see.
Unlock bootloader image, heading level 2, unlock bootloader.
There we go. Okay, yeah, it just took a second to load. So here's, we're on the unlock bootloader page.
You asked for it, we delivered. Use this tool to install custom firmware on selected HTC Android devices. Link. Get started.
So you click the get started link.
Press link. Get started. Leap link. Heading. List two items.
And?
Heading level 2. Unlock bootloader. Heading level 3. Unlock the possibilities with total customization. Heading level 2 link. Unlock bootloader. List 5 items. Link. Frequently asked questions. And heading level 2. Unlocking your bootloader. HTC is committed to listening to users and delivering customer satisfaction. We have heard your voice and starting now, we will allow our bootloader to be unlocked for 2011 models going forward. Please keep an eye on this website for more details on which devices will be adding this feature. We are extremely pleased to see the energy and enthusiasm from our fans and loyal customers, and we are excited to see what you are capable of. It is our responsibility to caution our devices.
And then you've got the disclaimer and all that stuff.
Some content on your device may also be...
Yeah. Basically, it says some content may not function anymore because of DRM and things like that. You'll see this on the Sony page, too, which we'll get to in a little bit. Basically, it's kind of rearing what I said earlier. It's like, you know, only do this if you know what you're doing. We're not responsible if you screw up, yada, yada, yada.
HTC is committed to assisting customers in unlocking bootloaders for HTC devices. However, due to some of our carrier customers' concerns, certain models with specific restrictions may not be able to be unlocked. Please refer to...
Yeah, like the HTC One X from AT&T. And the solution there is simply don't get those phones.
We strongly suggest that you do not unlock the bootloader unless you are confident that you understand the risks involved.
Yeah, okay.
Heading level 2, supported devices.
Okay.
Heading level 3, select all other supported models
so,
if you cannot find your phone.
Then it asks you for your phone.
Devices
I'll just...
launched after 9/2011 will be shipped with the unlock capability. Please check back often for updates on the unlock status of additional devices.
Okay, so...
So, link. Select your device. Link. Begin unlock bootloader. Star indicates HVOOT up link. Heading level... Select your menu 63 items.
So it's a menu here, and if we choose, oh, I don't know, the HTC Desire Z, let's try that.
Droid errors, EVO 3, Flyer, HTC Cha-Cha Star, HTC Desire HD Star, HTC Desire ZA7272 Star, HTC Dream Star, HTC Desire ZA7272 Star.
Now, some of the HTC phones, and it'll tell you, you will have to install an update from your computer to get that to work, but I just chose the Desire Z.
Link. Begin unlock bootloader. Star indicates HVOO heading level 3. HTC is committed to a stock link. Begin press link. Begin unlock bootloader.
So we click on that.
8 link. Heading list 2 item. Heading level 2. Unlock boot. Heading level 2 link. Unlock bootloop list 5 item. Link. Frequently asked.
And
heading level 2. Unlocking boot dash image dash. HTC is committed. It is our device.
Okay, we have to go down to the bottom of the page here.
HTC is committed. We struck heading level 3. Select all other support. HTC visited link. Star indicates HTC. Heading level 3. HTC is committed to link. Copyright cop list 4. Link. At link. Follow us. Link. Tell. Fancy box frame 136910. And log in now.
See, it's a frame at the bottom of the page, and then you have to log in. Which, basically, in a nutshell, I'll kind of tell you what's involved in it. I'm not going to go any farther with it, just because we have a lot of other stuff to cover. But what will happen is if you already have your account, you log in, and it will take you through the instructions. What you're going to basically do is go into, on the Mac, either the terminal or on Windows, a command line, the command prompt. And remember how I mentioned to you the two programs that you're going to be using, either Fastboot or ADB. Well, in this case, you're going to be interacting with Fastboot. And you have to, in order to do that, I guess I should mention with the HTC phones how to put them into Fastboot mode and recovery, actually. This is how it is on most of them. Again, there may be some exceptions to that. But what you do is you hold down the volume key, and none of this will speak, so... you can do it without sighted help, but if you have sighted help available, feel free to take advantage of it. You hold down the volume key while you press the power button, and if you have some vision, you'll see that the screen gets really bright. I can't read a screen, but I can tell if it's on, and I can tell like if something's on the screen. And what you're in basically then is a menu asking you, do you want to go into Fastboot mode or recovery mode? Fastboot is the default. Wait about 10 seconds for it to initialize, and then press the power button to go into Fastboot mode, which is what you're going to need to do to unlock the bootloader. If you wanted to boot into recovery, which there's no really point in doing that yet, since you'd still have the HTC recovery at this point, you'd press the volume down key again here, and then press the power button to select that. But in a nutshell, what you're going to end up doing is you... once you get it into Fastboot mode, you connect it to your computer. You type a command. I can't remember what it is, but it's Fastboot space something. And what it will then do is it'll give you a bunch of lines of text on the screen. And what you have to do then is when the site asks for it, again, it'll take you through several steps, you know, to install everything, which I've already mentioned to you. But you paste those lines, you select the text that command generates that it asks you to type, and then you paste that into the website. Now, on the Mac, you're in the terminal at this point, you can use the voiceover command. You move your voiceover cursor to the start of it, the text. You do a control option enter to start selecting, and then you move your cursor to the end of it and do control option enter again to stop the selection, and then just do a command C to copy it, go back to the web page and paste it. I don't think you can select text very easily in a Windows command line window. So what you're probably going to have to use there is your screen reader's drag and drop. I know JAWS has that, WindowEyes has it. Use that to select all of the text that you need to copy. I think the line you need to start with is where it says token start, I think, if I remember right. That's the line you start with, and you include that, and then the last line you include is one that says token end, and everything in between, of course. It's a bunch of just random letters and numbers and all that stuff. So, by the way, to get into that folder in the Mac, wherever you've installed the Android SDK, you can just do a CD space and then the command or the directory name. Like on my case, I've got a folder under my home folder called Android dash SDK dash Mac OS X. So when I first go into the terminal, I'm in my home folder. So I do CD space Android dash SDK dash Mac OS X slash platform dash tools, because that's where the ADB and the Fastboot files are located. Now on Windows, you can do something a little bit easier. you can go into your computer window, go to your C drive, to program files, wherever it's installed, and then Android SDK, and then highlight the platform tools folder, and then press the hold the shift key actually while you press the application key, because it'll give you a couple of extra menu options, and one of them is open command window here. And if you do that, you'll already have a command window open in the folder you need to be in, so you won't have to change directory at all. So, in any case, what you'll do is you will copy that text that it gives you, and then paste that into the website and hit submit. And then what will happen is the site will email you a little file. Save that file, actually put it into the platform tools folder where the other Android stuff is that we're working with. And then there's another command you have to type. I can't remember what it is, but the site will tell you. It's very easy to do. And you will have to reference that file then basically as part of it, the file name. When you do that and you press enter, this won't speak on your phone, but a screen will pop up on the screen basically saying, you're about to unlock the bootloader. Do you want to do this? If I remember right, you press the volume up key, because it's on the no option by default. You press volume up and then the power button to confirm it. And what'll happen then, and if you're on Windows, you'll hear the little USB connect and disconnect sounds when you go through all this. But what'll happen then is the phone will reboot, and then it'll wipe itself. It'll basically do as if you did a factory reset. And then what'll end up happening is you'll end up kind of back at the setup screen with your HTC stock firmware, but your bootloader will be unlocked at that point. So the next thing you have to do then is install the new recovery. What you've done then, if assuming you were successful, you can now reflash the boot and the recovery partitions. So what I would do at this point, if you've already go and download whatever ROM you want to install using the websites I've already provided for you, and get the recovery for your phone as well. They're zip files. And in this case, there are two files that you'll want to work with. The recovery file, it's a zip file. It'll probably just have one file in it. You may want to rename it to something easier to type because you'll be typing it. But it'll say like Clockwork Recovery 5.0 something, whatever the name of it. It'll have a .img extension. I would say just rename that to recovery.img. That's just fine. The name of the file doesn't matter, but rename it to that, and again, put that in your platform tools folder under your Android SDK folder. You'll only really need that once, and then you can delete it. Also, the ROM file that you download, it's a zip file. At this point, extract that, and there's one file that you're going to need from that file. It's called boot.img. That's the kernel for the new ROM. Also, put that into the platform tools folder underneath the Android SDK. Okay, once that's done, reboot your HTC phone back into the bootloader mode again, or fast boot mode, I should say. Again, you hold the volume down key, and while you're holding that down, press the power button. If you can see the screen at all, it'll turn really bright. Give it about 5 or 10 seconds. Then press the power button to confirm that you want to go into fast boot mode. Reconnect your device and type these commands that I'm going to give you. What you're going to do at this point is we are going to, now that the bootloader is unlocked, these partitions can be written to, we're going to replace the recovery, the HTC recovery, we're going to replace that with the recovery that you've downloaded, which will let us install the new ROM, and we're also going to replace the boot partition with the kernel for the new ROM. So what you're going to do then, when you're in that platform tools folder, again, on the Mac, you have to precede each one of these with a period and a slash, but you're going to want to type fastboot space Flash, space, recovery, space, and then the name of your recovery image file that you've extracted from your downloaded recovery zip file. Type that file name, then press enter. You should get some stuff on your screen saying, you know, that it's flashing, you know, and hopefully you'll see that it was successful. Once that's done, we're going to repeat a similar command. We want to type fastboot space flash space boot space, and then the name of the file should be boot period img. That's the file that you extracted from the ROM zip file that you downloaded from the main ROM file. So you type that, press enter, and again, hopefully you'll get some messages, and it should tell you hopefully that was successful. Okay, once that is done, then you want to boot into recovery, and to do that, well, you would type, the next command would be fastboot space reboot. And what that does is it reboots the device. Then what you want to do is hold the volume down key while it boots, and hopefully you get back to that menu again. Usually, now I can't say this for sure with all phones, but this time you want to go into recovery instead of a fast boot mode, so you press the volume down key once the bright screen appears, and then press the power button to confirm. If all goes well, you should now be in your custom recovery. And I'm going to stop there as far as HTC stuff and move on to the Sony phones, because I want to go through how to get the recovery installed on each of the different phones, and then we'll come back and we'll be able to talk about what to do once your Clockwork or TWRP recovery is installed, and that applies to all the phones. So that way it's less redundant. All right. What do you say we take another little breather? That was a lot. I'm going to grab a little more to drink here, and then we'll get into the Sony phones. A lot of it is pretty similar, especially the last part. But unlocking the bootloader, of course, is a little bit different on the Sony phones. I'm going to pause this, take a stretch, and grab a little something else to drink, and then we'll continue. We're getting there. We're getting there. All right, then. One other thing I should mention, I suppose. When you download a ROM file, you're probably also going to see a link there or mention of a Google GAPS or GAPS file. You'll want to grab that as well, because that's the Google applications, like the Google Play Store and things like that. For some reason, Google doesn't let developers distribute those applications directly with the ROM files. I'm not sure why, but they don't. So you'll want to make sure that you download the Google Apps file also that's appropriate. Usually it'll say like GAPS, G-A-P-P-S, and then it'll have a date on it. And it may or may not say what version of Android it's for, but usually you'll want to get the newest one because you're probably going to be installing the newest version of Android also. So that's one other minor thing I wanted to mention. Is when you download a ROM file, get the Google Apps file also. Okay, for the Sony phones, if you already have the phone talking with the Sony firmware, you won't need sighted help for this. But if you just like got a phone and you want to do a custom ROM, I was going to say you want to, again, like I mentioned earlier, you'll want to still install the newest updates provided by Sony to make sure your baseband is up to date. But actually, you can do that without sighted help. There's a Sony software to do that both on the Mac and the PC, but that won't give you the information you need in itself. What you need to unlock the bootloader with the Sony phones, at least the ones that I've seen, is you do need the phone's IMEI number. And you can get to that from About Phone, it'll display it, or it's also inside the battery compartment. But if your phone is not speaking, you'll need sighted help to get that. It's usually like a 15-digit number, and you'll need that. The site you want to go to is Unlock Bootloader, all one word, so it's unlockbootloader.sonymobile.com. And I've got that site pulled up here, so I'll just go ahead and read a little bit of it. There is, Well, as far as the drivers on Windows, what they'll have you install is just the INF file that was installed when you installed the USB driver from earlier when you installed the Android SDK. There's a replacement INF file that you'll want to download and just copy over the one that came with the Android SDK, replace it with the one from Sony's site to allow the phone to actually work with that. So anyway, we're at that site. And it's unlockbootloader.sonymobile.com. And here's kind of what you'll encounter.
Heading, we're supporting the open developer community. The open developer community is important to us at Sony, and we have therefore made it possible to unlock the bootloader for certain releases of Xperia trademark devices from 2011 and onwards. To find out what models are supported by this service, please see the supported phones page to the left. However, even if the device model is supported, certain releases of the device model may not be supported due to operator restrictions. To check if your device can be unlocked, go through the first two steps on the page. Important information.
Okay, and you got the usual disclaimer and things like that. So, you have to go through that and say, yes, I still want to continue, and check the box that says, yes, I understand that by doing this, I void my warranty, and I may damage the phone, etc., etc., yada, yada, yada. You go through that. What it's going to ask you is for the phone's IMEI number. So you enter that and then enter your email address. And what it will do then is it will email you an unlock code, and then it'll give you the command that you have to type. Again, it's you're in the terminal on a Mac or the command line. The command prompt in Windows, and I don't remember what the command is, but it will tell you what it is. But it's again a fast boot command. So, oh, I guess I should tell you how to do the Sony phones to put it into fast boot mode. The way you do it, this may be different on some other phones, but on the Xperia Pro, you make sure the phone is powered down, and then you hold the menu key, and while you're holding the menu key, plug in the USB cable. That's kind of how you do it. On the Mini Pro, or phones that don't have a menu key, I believe it's the volume up key. It's either volume up or volume down, but I believe it's volume up. One of them does fast boot mode, and one of them does flash mode if you're actually going to update the baseband manually, which we're not going to get into that. I believe it's volume up, though. So I know for the Mini Pro and for other phones that don't have a physical menu button, hold the volume up key, and then plug in the USB cable, and the computer should again indicate if it's a Windows that a USB device has been connected. Then you type in the command that it tells you to type in the email. It's fast boot space, I think it's like OEM space unlock something, and then you type in that code that it emailed you. And then once you do that, again, you'll get something on the screen that says erasing block such and such, erasing block such and such. You'll get a bunch of that, and again, the phone will wipe itself. It will wipe the device. So that's how that works. Once your bootloader is unlocked, again, you really won't have a recovery file for the Sony phones. Instead, the way that works is when you download a ROM file for the Sony phones, again, get the boot IMG file from the zip archive, put it into the platform tools folder, and when your phone is in the fast boot mode, use the same command once your bootloader is unlocked. So you do fast boot space flash space boot.img, and you'll actually kill two birds with one stone with that one. In the way the Sony phones work, you will install the new kernel for the new ROM, and you'll also install the recovery, because the recovery is contained in the boot partition for the Sony phones. And again, you'll get several things, you know, erasing boot, writing boot, and then hopefully it'll say it was successful, and you're good to go, and then you have the recovery. To boot the Sony phones into recovery, if the phone has a physical back button, press the disconnect it after you do the fast boot thing, and then hold the power button. You probably feel it vibrate briefly. press the back button, if it's got a physical back button, just press it a few times, you know, kind of like pressing F8 when Windows boots to get to the startup menu there. Just press it a few times and you should end up in the recovery. For phones that don't have a physical back button, I believe it's volume down. You keep pressing that until the recovery screen appears. So that's how that works. So that's the Sony phones. And So again, both of those are pretty easy. I guess I should also tell you how to unlock the bootloader on the Nexus phones. If you have a... the Nexus 1 is kind of old. It's unlikely you'll have that. Maybe a Nexus S, or definitely perhaps a Galaxy Nexus or the Nexus 4. That's actually really easy. Again, install the same software. I think to put those into fast boot mode, at least the Nexus 4, I believe it's volume down when it's and when you press the power button, but I don't know for sure on that. We're getting a little thunder here, storm. it shouldn't cause us a problem, but again, I don't know for sure on that because I don't have a Nexus 4, but again, if you go to the CyanogenMod page, look at the page for the Nexus 4, it will tell you what you need. And then once you're in the fast boot mode for that, just go to the platform tools folder, and all you have to type is fast boot space OEM space unlock, and press enter. And again, you'll get the thing on the screen that says, are you sure you want to do this? You press the volume up key and the power key to confirm, and it unlocks it. So those are very easy. Okay. I'm going to pause this and actually go into Windows, the Windows virtual machine on my Mac, because the Samsung phones are a little bit different, and I want to show you the software that's used to flash those, and kind of how that works. So I'm going to pause this while I boot up my virtual machine, and be right back with you. All right, so we are back on the recording here, and what I've done, since I don't have a PC anymore, I've just done Macs. I do use Windows for a couple of things. And I've fired up my Windows 7 virtual machine using VMware Fusion, because the software for the Samsung phones only works in Windows. It's called Odin, like I mentioned earlier. And to get it, if you do a search on Google for Odin, O-D-I-N space Samsung, if you type that in, the first or second thing should get it for you. I think it's a thread on the XDA developers. The newest version of it is 3.07. And there's also a the Samsung driver that you have to install. I think that's also in that thread. That's just running a setup file, and it's real easy, and it installs. Now, the way the Samsung phones work is a little easier, because in most cases, there's no bootloader to unlock, per se. So you don't have to deal with entering codes or pasting text into a website or anything like that. All you have to do is use the Odin software to install the recovery, is all you have to do, really, in order to be able to install a custom ROM. So what you would do is, again, if you go to a Cyanogen page or, you know, the XDA page for your phone, you'll usually see a recovery file, and it'll usually come in a zip file itself, or it may be in something else, but if it is a zip file and you unzip that, usually what you'll see is a file that has a .tar extension, .tar, and sometimes it'll say .tar.md5, and those are the files that Odin actually works with. And what you do is you put your phone into download mode. Now that varies from phone to phone, so you may have to look and see how to do that. For example, if the phone has a home key, a physical home key, what you'll usually do is usually hold the volume up or down key along with the home key while you press the power button. Then you release the power button and hold those two keys for a moment or two. If the phone does not have a physical home button, it would just be holding either volume up or volume down. And it varies between phones. I know for my two Samsung phones, the volume keys, one boots it into the recovery mode, the other one puts it into download mode, and they're opposite. So you may have to... you may have to do a little research to find for your particular phone, Samsung phone, which one to use. But once you do, and you know what key sequence to use to put it into download mode, you go ahead and do that. And then this won't speak, of course, but you'll have a screen basically asking you to confirm that you want to go into download mode. You press the volume up key to confirm that. And the phone won't speak at this point, but at that point, then you go ahead and start the Odin software. Odin itself is not something you install. It's just usually a zip file. You just extract the files. Like on mine, I just put them into a folder called Odin on my C drive. And I do want to go in here and show you some of the options, because here you do have to be careful. Do the wrong thing here, and you could very easily brick your phone. Odin actually works fine with speech, but you have to know what options to use and which ones not to use. So I am sitting just on my Windows 7 desktop. I have Window Eyes running. And I'm just going to go to the run box and type in /Odin, because that's where I have it installed. Actually, I could just type in Odin.exe, I guess, and run it that way. I'll just do it that way, just to get into the program. So again, once your phone's in download mode, start Odin first before you connect the phone. And again, make sure you've also installed the Samsung drivers. So if you can't find those for some reason, again, I think the Samsung drivers are also part of that thread where you can get Odin. But if for some reason you can't find them, go to the Samsung site and just install the Kies software. I think it's K-I-E-S or something like that. Just go to support for phones, and you'll be able to download and install that. And that will also install the drivers that Odin can use. If you do that, though, the Kies software will want to run in your system tray. Make sure you exit that. Otherwise, it'll cause conflicts with the Odin software. So I'm just going to hold the Windows key and press R. Okay, and we're going to type /Odin.
Press OK button. Dialogue. See Odin. Odin. Windows cannot find See Odin.
Oh, maybe it's a different file name. Okay. Well, in that case, let's just go to the folder. So we'll go to the run box again. /Odin. Press Enter.
Odin. CWM.tar.md5106.
Okay. So I still have a recovery in here from before.
Odin 3v3.
I can probably delete that, actually. I will go ahead and do so.
No button. Yes. Why? Odin.
Don't need that anymore, because I already got the recovery on my two Samsung phones. Okay.
Odin 3v3.07.exe unselected one.
That's the one.
Odin 3.ini205.
That's
SSDL DLL305. Max.DLL405. Zlib.DLL505.
So
Odin 3v3.07.exe one of.
Odin 3v3.07.exe. That's the executable. So we'll just go ahead and run that. Press Enter.
Odin 3v3.07.exe 1 of 5. Files download bootloader button.
Okay, so I'm going to Alt Tab and close this Explorer window.
Odin 3v. Files download.
Okay, so what we've got here is the main Odin screen, and you can tab through some of these controls, but you won't see all of them if you use the tab key. But if you use your mouse cursor in Window Eyes or the JAWS cursor, you'll be able to see everything pretty easily. And what you need, well, I'll point out some of the controls that are important. Let's just look at the controls that are in here. So I'm going to go to the top left of the window.
Top left. Model name.
Okay. Model name, that's doesn't really have anything. At this point, if you connect your Samsung phone when it's in download mode, that will populate. And it should display something, assuming that you've installed the drivers correctly. It'll say like something like COM4 or 5 or something like that. You'll be able to tell that something was definitely connected.
IDCOM group box.
IDCOM, that'll be filled in also when your phone is connected.
Option group box.
Okay, option.
Repartition group box.
Okay, repartition. You're not going to mess with any of that for this. Again, you shouldn't have to do anything with that.
Pit button.
Pit, what that does is it allows you to install a new partition file that'll change your memory partition. Again, that's not something you'll have to deal with. Usually, this software never really was designed for end users, as you can probably tell. So, a lot of the stuff in here you won't even have to worry about. But the PIT, that would allow you to flash a new partition file, which again, you wouldn't want to do that.
Repartition checkbox unchecked.
And again, you wouldn't want to check that either, repartition. That's not something you would want to do. So we'll leave that.
F, reset time checkbox checked.
F, reset time, that is kind of self-explanatory. It resets the the time on the phone when it flashes something. You can check or uncheck that. It's up to you.
Auto reboot checkbox checked.
Auto reboot. This is important. When you're installing a recovery, you'll probably want to uncheck that because you'll be able to tell when it's done because it'll, if you read your screen, it'll say when it's completed because the Samsung ROMs, remember, when you install a recovery, you haven't replaced the ROM on the phone yet. All you've done is install a recovery. And a lot of times, if the phone reboots the Samsung stock firmware, it will remove the recovery you've just installed and replace it with the Samsung recovery. So what you essentially have to do, once this is done, you remove the battery. Most of the phones, the Samsung phones, the battery is removable. So you do that to get it out of the download mode. And then right away, boot the phone into recovery and install your ROM. So before you even do this part, copy the ROM files either to your phone's memory, the zip files to your phone's memory, or the micro SD card if your phone has that. Do that first, if you can. Otherwise, if the Samsung software reboots on the phone, it may replace the recovery, and you'll have to do this again. So that's another little tidbit.
NAND erase all checkbox unchecked.
NAND erase all, don't mess with that. It basically wipes the entire memory, I believe. You definitely don't want to. You don't want to check that. Leave that go.
Flash lock checkbox unchecked.
Flash lock, leave that alone too. I don't know exactly what it does, but I've been told that it's not something you want to change either. It can cause problems.
LED control checkbox unchecked. Flash LED control checkbox unchecked.
LED control. I don't know if that relates to the camera, but again, not really exactly sure what it is, so we will leave it go.
Files download proof box.
Okay.
T flash checkbox unchecked.
T flash. I don't know what that does either. And again, it doesn't matter for our purposes. So
default bootloader button.
Okay, now we're getting into the things where you can choose what you want to install. A bootloader, you probably won't be messing with that either because that's to update the bootloader and that's not something you would usually have to do.
Dump checkbox unchecked disabled.
Dump, I'm not sure what that does.
APRAM. PDA button.
PDA, that is the button that you're going to be most interested in. Once you get the recovery file, it might be in a zip file, you'll extract the zip file. Like I say, you'll have a file with a .tar or a .tarm.md5 extension. Put that file in the same folder where Odin is at, and then this is the button that you want to select, the PDA button. When you do, you'll get a standard file open dialog box. Just select the file that you've copied into that folder and select open. That's what you have to do there. So that PDA is going to be the one that you're going to use.
Phone bootloader update checkbox unchecked disabled.
Phone bootloader update again. That doesn't matter. It's disabled.
Phone EFS clear checkbox unchecked disabled.
Do not. Okay, this one. Phone EFS clear. Do not under any circumstances. I repeat, do not check that for any reason. If you do, it will brick your phone. What that does, there's a separate partition. You remember I mentioned the partitions on a Samsung phone. There's another one called EFS, and that stores information specific to your phone, like its IMEI number and other information specific to it. That checkbox, if you check it, it allows that to be erased. If that's done, the phone will not function. It will brick it. So again, do not check that for any reason, the EFS clear.
Phone button.
Okay, the phone button, that would allow you to flash a new baseband or new radio on a Samsung phone. Again, you probably won't use that much. The PDA is going to be what you want to use to install the recovery.
Message group box.
Okay, there's a message here. This is where you'll see if the update was successful or if it failed.
CSC button.
CSC, you can leave that go to. I'm not sure what that does. Again, it has to do with installing specific files, I think.
Thumbs button disabled. File dump proof box.
File dump.
Open button disabled.
You can skip all that.
Start button.
Okay, the start button. Once you select, when you choose PDA and you choose the and you choose the file, you click open, then you'll come down here to the start button and click that to start flashing the recovery. It'll take about a minute. That's how long it took mine. And again, you'll see a message just as you read the screen. You'll see the messages, and it should eventually say that there was one success and zero failures, which means it was successful. And then again, uncheck the auto reboot, and then pull the battery, and then you'll have to boot right into the recovery to install your ROM. Use the key sequence with the volume keys to boot into recovery at that point.
Reset button.
Okay.
Exit button.
And there's exit, which exit takes button. You out of Odin, which we can also do with Alt F4.
Desktop.
So that is how you install the recovery on a Samsung phone. Like I say, it's a little bit different than the other ones, but in some ways it's easier because there's no bootloader to unlock or anything like that. So yeah, that's how you do it with the Samsung phones. All right. Now we have, hopefully, depending on your manufacturer of phone, hopefully at this point now, let me say something else too about installing ROMs on Samsung phones. You don't have to flash the boot.img file. When you install the ROMs using the recovery, that is done for you with the Samsung phones. Whereas, of course, with the Sony and the HTC ones, you have to do that using the fastboot part of the Android SDK. On the Samsung phones, that's not necessary. It will do it for you. So wanted to mention that. Okay, so at this point, if you have come this far, no matter what brand of phone you have, your bootloader should be unlocked, if applicable. And you should have either Clockwork Recovery or Team Win Recovery installed on your phone. And now we're ready to look at how actually installing the ROMs work. I'm going to pause this and shut down my Windows virtual machine and get back on the Mac side of things before we continue. And then I'll show you some ways that you can do that. One way involves will require sighted help if you want to interact with the recovery directly. Sometimes you can use a script to automate the process, which will allow you to do it without sight. And we'll take a look at that also. So I'm going to pause this while I shut down my virtual machine and everything, and then we will take a look at that. Okay, so once you have the recovery installed, if you haven't already done so, you'll want to do this actually. Well, if you have a working phone beforehand, you know, if you're able to do this, you'll want to copy, especially if you just have internal memory and you don't have a external SD card, you'll want to copy the files to it. Otherwise, you could just copy them to the SD card beforehand or use a memory card reader, but you'll usually install two, and in my case, three files, and I'll explain why in a second. So you'll have the ROM file, like I mentioned earlier, there are zip files. The ROM file contains the main Android operating system and some of the applications, and then you'll usually have a Google Apps file. It's usually called GAPS, G-A-P-P-S, and then it has a date on it. I think the newest one for Android 4.2 is like dated March the 1st, something like that. So you'll have those two files. You'll want to put them in the root of your either your micro SD card, or if your phone does not have that, well, it'll have something that emulates it. Put that in the root of that. Now, for copying the files, and again, this assumes maybe you might do this beforehand. In Windows, if it's a micro SD card that you're using, it'll support mass storage. So you'll just tell it to connect to mass storage. It'll show up as a drive, and you just copy them over like anything else. if you have a phone like, the Nexus 4, the Galaxy S3. Well, the Galaxy S3 and 4, they support memory cards, but they have their own internal memory also that emulates that. Those don't support mass storage, and the reason why is because when you copy files, that shares the same partition as the data partition. You remember how I mentioned one of the partitions is the data partition. On these newer phones that don't support memory cards or that have a large internal storage, it emulates that, basically, and it allocates space from the data partition to emulate that. And in that case, it doesn't support mass storage. It supports what's called the media transfer protocol. Now, on Windows, that won't matter to you as much. You can just copy and paste like you always would. But on the Mac, if you're using a Macintosh, it's a little bit different. The Mac does not support that directly. So there are what you'll have to do is there's a little application that you can get for the Mac. It's called Android File Transfer. And if you install that, you can copy the files over. However, it's a little more difficult because that thunder out there is still kind of booming a little bit. A little bit of a storm here that passed. Kind of a bassy thunder there. But the only thing about that application is you can't really copy and paste. You have to drag and drop and use VoiceOver to basically drag the files over to the Android phone. It's a little more challenging, but it can be done. Now, as of this recording, the version of TalkBack that's in the newest Google Apps file, if you try to run that, it will crash. And I'm not sure why that hasn't been fixed in the Google Apps file. So I made up my own TalkBack file. It's just a zip file containing the TalkBack screen reader. And if you're going to install a ROM and you want that file, just email me. I'll give you my email address at the end. Actually, I'll give it to you now, and I'll give it again at the end since you're on this part. Just tell me that you want, you know, the zip file with the newest TalkBack in it, and I'll send it to you. It's really small, so attaching it won't be a problem. My email address is my ham radio call sign. It's N is in Nancy, or November. I guess I should use the proper phonetics. So N is in November, 0, the number 0 there, and then oxy@charter.net, charter.net. And like I say, if you want the newest TalkBack, just let me know. I'll send it to you. The other advantage to that is, remember how I was talking about applications that are installed in the system partition as opposed to the data partition? Well, doing it this way and using a TalkBack zip file installs the screen reader, the newest version of it, into the system partition. So even if you do a factory reset, you still have the newest version of TalkBack always there because it's in your system partition. So that's another really good advantage to doing it that way. So So what you'd have then is the ROM file itself, the Google Apps file, and perhaps a zip file with the newest TalkBack. If you don't have that, you'll probably need sighted help to do this, but you can just install the two files, the ROM file and the Google Apps file, and then just get the newest version of TalkBack from the Play Store and enable it. But again, you'll need sighted help to do that, because if you try to enable it with the one that comes with the newest Google Apps file, it crashes. So when you have those files copied over to your phone, if you have sighted help available, that is the most reliable way to do this. There is a script that I'll show you that you might be able to use to get it to work. It works in most cases with the Clockwork Recovery, at least. There's also a scripting language for the TeamWin Recovery project also that you could use. But if you have sighted help, that may be the most reliable way to proceed at this point, just to make sure that everything works okay. What you would do is boot your phone into recovery. And again, look at the individual sections of this podcast for your appropriate manufacturer to see how to do that. Like I say, the Samsung phones especially, sometimes it's volume up, sometimes it's volume down. It just depends. But once you're in the recovery, usually you use the volume up and down keys to select things or to highlight an item, and then you press the power button to select it. That won't speak. But here's what you have to do. And if you have a sighted person helping you with that, here's what you need to, you know, have them read you the menu, and here's what you need to choose. There's a one that says Wipe Data Factory Reset. What that essentially does is it formats your data partition and deletes anything that's in it. So that's what that does. Then you want to choose to, it might say either format cache or wipe cache, and that formats the cache partition. You can also, it's not required because part of the install script in the ROM file itself will usually do this for you, but if you want to, you can. You can also choose to format the system partition. And at that point, if you did that, then you tried to reboot your phone wouldn't do anything except just sit there on a blank screen probably. Your recovery would still be there, so you could recover, but again, usually that part's not necessary to format the system partition because that's done for you when you install the ROM. Okay, then what you do is you choose, there's an option that says to install, update, it might say like install zip file from SD card or install update file from SD card, something like that. If you look at the menu, it'll be pretty obvious which one you want. And then from there, there's a default option just to search for a file called update.zip. But what you're going to want to choose, there's an option that says to choose the file that you want. You would go ahead and do that. And then select, it's important that you install this in the right order, because you want to install the ROM file first, because again, that actually has... that has something in the script that will usually format the system partition and then install the base Android operating system to your system partition, and then any other apps that might be included in that ROM file. So do that one first. Once that's done, it'll tell you that it's complete. Then you may have to press the back key on your phone to go back to the menu. Choose to install zip file again, and choose the GAPS file, the Google Apps file that you have. And again, usually you can find the Google Apps file on the same page where you download the ROM file itself. So install that. And once that's done, if you have like a TalkBack file or any other zip files you want to install, go ahead and install those as well. But then when you're done, choose the option that says Reboot System. And once you do that, your phone should reboot into the new ROM, into the new version of Android. And then... if you have a version of TalkBack on it that doesn't crash, and it's the newest version of Android, which it probably would be, you should be able to hold the two fingers on the screen and enable the accessibility right there and set the phone up with outside help from that point on. Okay, so what if you don't have sighted help? Well, there is a possibility to use a script to automate this. You can kind of think of this as a batch file. Kind of. Basically, it tells the recovery to do all of these things in an automated sequence. Now, the way you do that is you... well, let me show you the script, and I'll show you where you can get this from. Phil, actually, he's another Android user. He has, on his website, he has some instructions for installing CyanogenMod. The Cyanogen ROMs. That was for Cyanogen version 9, which was based on Ice Cream Sandwich, but the script still applies. I'm going to go ahead and open up his site.
Finder. It's, Finder.
Let's see. Actually, it's accessibilitytraining.co.uk. That's the site we need to go to. So I'm going to go ahead and pause this while I go ahead and open that page. Alrighty then. So, where I went to is accessibilitytraining.co.uk, and then if you choose the link for installing a Cyanogen, there's a sample script here. The way this works, again, if you've installed everything that I suggested before, what you'll want to do is put your phone into recovery. This assumes you've copied the files that you want to install to the root of either your internal memory or the memory card. And what you do then is, once you're in the recovery, you want to actually create or get into a shell, basically, on your phone. To do that, go to your Platform Tools folder, again, underneath the Android SDK folder, wherever you've installed it, and you'll be in the command prompt or the terminal if it's on a Mac. Actually, this doesn't work on a Mac for some reason, and... I'll explain why in a minute, and if anyone can figure out why it does not work on the Mac, I would love to know. I've tried everything, and I cannot get this to work on a Mac, and I would love to know if anybody can figure this out. So you'll have to do this in Windows at this point, unless somebody can figure out a way around it. So what you would do then is, the phone's in recovery at this point, plugged into the computer. You're at the command line in the Android SDK /platform-tools folder. You type in ADB space shell and press enter. And you might get a message saying, like, daemon not running, starting it now on port, whatever. And then your screen reader may not read it, so you may have to read a character at a time, but it should say a tilde sign and then a number sign. And that's your prompt. So that's what you would do here. Then here's what you have to type. What you may want to do is just go to the site and get these lines and just copy them, and then you can paste them. The way I did it was pasted it into Notepad and then did all the modifications I needed to and then basically copied that, did a Control A to select it all, Control C to copy, and then right clicked in the command line window and did a paste. So the first line, I'll just have the computer read it for you, because the punctuation is important here. But what it does, it uses the cat command, which is basically a text editor. And what we're going to do is create a file called extended command, and it'll be in the /cache/recovery folder. That's where it'll be. If you don't have that folder, if it says it doesn't exist, you can use the MKDIR, I think it is, to create it. But usually you won't have to do that. So here is the first line of that script that once you're in the shell.
Interact with text. W.
Wait a minute.
Let's stop tip. We need to cat rate.
Okay, here it is.
Interact with text.
So here's
cat
what
greater
it is.
Than C A T space greater than space slash C A C H E slash R E C O V E R what slash E X T E N D E D C O M A D.
Yeah, so cat space, and there's a greater than, and then another space, I believe there was.
E E E O E R E H C A C space greater than space great slash.
Yeah, so it's cat space, then a greater than space, and then /cache/recovery/extended command. That basically tells it the name of the file. Then when you press enter on that, if you're typing this in manually, again, my suggestion is take the lines from this script, modify it to suit your own needs, and then delete the lines you don't need. Do that in Notepad first, and that way you can just paste this into the command line once you've connected to a shell on your phone. But that's the first line. Okay,
stop,
then the next one.
Format cache.
So format cache, that wipes the, that does a wipe of the cache. Remember how I mentioned before, if you're doing it with sighted help, you want to have them wipe the cache. But again, let's look at the punctuation.
Interact with text. F-O-R-M-T left parenthesis, quotation mark, slash C-A-C-A-E, quotation mark, right parenthesis, semicolon.
Yeah, so again, you got to have that punctuation, the left parenthesis, the, the quotes, the right parenthesis, that, the semicolon, that all has to be there. So that one formats the cache.
Stop inter format data.
Format data. It's probably very similar.
Interact with text. F O M A T left parenthesis quotation slash D A T A quotation right parenthesis semicolon.
Yeah. So that does the wipe data factory reset. So you definitely want to have those two lines in there to format the cache and format the data. There's also a line in here to format the system partition. You don't have to include that. When you install the ROM, it will do that for you. So that's the next line. You can skip it. And then I'll just show you one line of how you install a file. And you'll basically need to repeat this for each of the files. You may want to rename the ROM file itself to like something, just call it update.zip, and the GAPS file to just like gapps.zip. So when you're modifying these to make sure the script is correct, it's just less typing and it's easier to deal with.
Stop in track. Okay. Install underline zip slash SD card slash update.zip.
So again, that's how you install, that's the line that installs a file. Let's look at it letter by letter.
Interact with text. I-N-S-T-A-L-L underline Z-I-P left parenthesis quotation mark slash S-D-C-A-R-D slash U-P-D-A-T-E period Z-I-P quotation mark right parenthesis semicolon.
Yeah, so that assumed that your ROM file name was update.zip. You could change that, of course, for whatever the name of the file was. And then you would repeat that same line. You press enter after each one of these, of course. After the semicolon on each one, you're pressing return to do a new line. You would repeat the same thing for the GAPS file, and then if you had like a talkback file or any other zip file, you would do the same thing. So, and again, the best way I found to do this, and I actually have a file already made up in my Windows Virtual Machine for this, so if I want to use the script, I pretty much just open Notepad, do Control A, to select everything, Control-C to copy it. Then when I go into the command line, after I type in ADB space shell and press enter and I got the prompt, I just do a right mouse click, choose paste. And then once that's done, I'm at the end of the last line. I just press enter there to insert the last carriage return. So that's kind of how you'd make your script. Once it's done, make sure you press return after the last semicolon, after the last line. Here's where it messes up on the Mac, and I don't know why. To end the file, you have to press Control D, as in dog. You do Control D and then press enter. That basically will save the file to your phone in the /cache/recovery folder called extended command. And for some reason, when I do that with the Mac, it just exits out. So I'm thinking the Mac is sending a different character than Windows does. But if anybody can figure out why that doesn't work on the Mac, please tell me. I would really like to know. In any case, once you have your script and you do a Control D and you press enter, you're back at the number prompt. Then we need to reboot the phone into recovery again, and it'll actually execute the script. So to do that, you're still in a shell at this point. You would just type in reboot space recovery and press enter. And at that point, you'll hear the disconnect sound. The phone will reboot. And in theory, if everything goes well, what will happen is the phone will reboot again into the recovery, execute the script. You'll format the cache and the data partitions, and then install whatever zip files you've included. And then once that's done, it will reboot again into the actual ROM itself. Now, if you have again, that assumes that you have already flashed also, if it's applicable, for the HTC and the Sony. Well, the Sony phones, you'll have had to do this because the boot image is what contains the clockwork recovery. On the HTC phones, also, of course, make sure you flash the boot.img file in the way I mentioned before in the section on HTC phones. And if that's the case, if all is well, then once that install is done, it should reboot into the new ROM. Now, if you have some usable vision, you might be able to see on the screen, as it kind of goes along and installs, it kind of has like a bar thing that spins. And then you can see when the phone reboots because it goes dark for a minute. If you don't have that, leave the phone connected to the USB port and you'll be able to hear the connect and disconnect sounds. So you can kind of tell what's going on there and get a status, because that won't speak, of course. But it should be all pretty automated, so that shouldn't matter. So if that's the case, either way, whether you use Sighted Help or you use the Clockwork script, if your phone rebooted and you made it to the Android setup screen, again, if you installed a newer a version of TalkBack that doesn't crash, go ahead and do the two-finger... hold the two fingers on the screen to enable accessibility, and hopefully your phone will speak. And in that case, congratulations. You now have a custom ROM on your phone of hopefully the newest version of Android. Now you can start reaping the fruits of your labor here. All right. There is one more section I want to cover here. We're almost done. once you have a custom ROM installed, do you have to go through all of this each time you want to install like a new build of the ROM? Like when Cyanogen comes out with a new build, do you have to go through all that? No, absolutely not. It's very easy. There is an app from the Play Store, and there's a free version and a premium version. I recommend you get the premium one. It offers some extra features. It's only like $4. It's called ROM Manager, and it's very accessible, as you'll see in a minute. But that actually will either download ROMs for you for your phone. It'll also update. If there's a newer version of the recovery, it'll install that for you as well. Or the way I usually do it, I just download the files to my computer and I copy them to my phone. ROM Manager will basically automate the installation of the new ROM for you. Essentially what it does is it'll create that script that I was just showing you. It'll automate all that. You choose the zip files, say you reboot, and it basically creates the script for you, and it's all automated, and it just works out really well. So I'm going to pause this while I go grab a phone. There's a new ROM out. I've already got a build of 4.2 on my Sony Xperia Pro, but there's a new build of it. I don't install every single new build. I usually wait a few weeks, you know, because if it's working fine, I figure, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That thunder is something else. Man, kind of rumbly. The storm's not here anymore, but that thunder just kind of rumbles a bit. anyway, so, but there's a new build of Cyanogen for the Sony Xperia Pro, and it has a new kernel in it. The one I've got on it now is on version 2, and this one in the boot image actually has version 3. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause this, I'm going to go grab my Sony Xperia Pro and a USB cable, and I will show you this. I can actually demonstrate for you too how to use ROM Manager to update a ROM. Once you have, you know, a custom ROM that has root, you know, access already installed, to install a new build, and that's actually very easy. Okay, so I will be right back. All right, I have my Sony Xperia Pro here fired up, and what I did is I went to the settings and about phone screen just so we can see the difference here. So what we've got is the versions.
Android version 4.2.2.
And it does say Android 4.2.2.
Baseband version.
Baseband
version. Kernel version 2.6.32.9 FXP.
So the kernel version is like 2.6.32 on this current one. And the build date on this version that I'm running here is like Tuesday, April, I think it's in April sometime. And what I've got here is the new build. Came out, I think, like May 17th or 18th. And what it does is, again, it's a new build. And it also has a new kernel, version 3 of the Android kernel. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and install that. And I've already taken the boot image file from that ROM, because again, you have to update that using the Android SDK on the Sony phones, and I've put that into the Platform Tools folder. You can either do that beforehand or after you actually flash the ROM. It shouldn't matter in theory. I'm going to go ahead and do it afterward, but it probably really doesn't matter. So what I'm going to do first then is I need to, well, the Google Apps file and the TalkBack files haven't changed, really. I already have the newest version of those on my SD card. So the only thing I really have to copy is the ROM file itself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab a micro USB cable, which I have plenty of them around here. Let's see here. Did I already grab that? Maybe I did. Let's see here. No, I didn't. Okay. Grab one here. Here we are. Okay. So we've got that. And I'm just going to go ahead and connect that to the phone and to my Mac, and then I'm going to tell it to connect in mass storage because this phone, since it has a micro SD card for its storage, I'm able to do that. Again, if your phone doesn't support mass storage, you can do a couple of things. You can, well, on Windows, it's no big deal. You just copy it in the usual way, and again, put the files in the root folder, kind of just like you did when you installed your initial ROM. If you're using a Mac, I'll tell you another app. If you're running a ROM that has root access, there's a free app on the Play Store called Samba File Share. It's, do a search for Samba, S-A-M-B-A, and it's an awesome app. What it does is it makes your phone show up on your network as just like another computer, and then you can basically open that up, and it just shows up like a network drive. You can copy and paste between your phone and your computer. Or you can use, on the Mac, you can use that Android file transfer. But again, that's a little more complicated because you have to drag and drop. Okay, so I'm going to connect this to my computer. And I'm going to plug this into the Sony Xperia phone, like this. Okay, great. All right, now there's a notification up there that basically says if you want to connect in mass storage, which I do, so I'm going to open notifications. Let's see.
Notification chain.
And TalkBack's got a gesture to do that. You can swipe to the right and down, or you can just take two fingers and swipe from the bottom, or from the top of the screen to the bottom. So we're just going to swipe to the right here.
Note, Sixer, Saturday, quick setting, USB connected, touch to copy files to.
Okay.
USB fast storage. USB fast, USB connected. You've connected to your computer via USB. Touch the button below if you want to copy files between your computer and your Android's SD card.
And we do. This is one of the things about Android that I really love over the iPhone. It just... or iOS devices, to copy things back and forth to and from a computer on Android is just so much easier compared to the iPhone. There's just no comparison. So we're going to do turn on USB storage.
Alert, turn on USB storage. If you turn on USB storage, some apps you're using will stop and may be unavailable until you turn off USB storage.
Right, because I'm using the Ivona voice, and it stores its voice data on the memory card. So when I tell it OK here, it unmounts the SD card from the phone so the computer can connect to it, and it'll switch to the Pico TTS until we switch back. Until we disconnect the USB, I should say.
Okay.
But I'm going to tap OK for now. Double tap it.
Using Pico TTS.
Now it switches over to the
Macintosh HD.
Pico.
So image capture. Image capture.
I don't know if it's image capture. I'm not sure why, unless I got a photo or something on my memory card. But
Finder, desktop.
Okay, so I've already got the file downloaded. And again, the GAPS file and the zip file containing the newest TalkBack, I've already got those on my memory card. So all we need to copy is the ROM file itself. So I'm going to do Command-Shift-H to open my home folder.
Home, now in.
And go to the downloads folder here.
Downloads, open this window. Lit, GAPS dash, shoe underline, CM10.12013051.9, unofficial, IY,
open. SHU, that file, CM10.1, unofficial, that's the file we need. So we're just going to do Command-C to copy that.
Copy, shoe underline, CM10.12.
Yeah, and then we do Command-W to close out of that.
Close window, now.
Okay, and we go down
desktop,
to...
No name,
because my memory card on this one doesn't really have a name. So we're going to... do a command O to open that.
Open. Now in. No name. Window. List view.
Let me just make sure I don't have any old ROM files.
Alarms
for on here.
Android clock. CM10.1-20130518-90-APEXQTMO.
Oh, I had another ROM that I was copying over. I used this memory card for that. Let me delete that off of here.
Move to trash. Com. Empty trash.
Delete that. Okay. So
DCI download gaps dash lost.
Okay, there's my gaps file.
Gaps dash JB dash 20130301.
That's the Google Apps file again.
Lost movies nav nearby notif pictures podcast ringtone roam talkback dot zip zip archive April 20th.
Yep, and that's the newest talkback file. Okay, so we just do a command V here to paste this file.
Paste item one row added talkback dot zip zip now in copy window copying 1217 items to no name.
Well, that thunder is something else. Man, it's just kind of hanging on there. Kind of rumbles things a little bit. But, yeah, they're saying we could get storms, actually. All the way through Wednesday, kind of, it could storm. So, a little bit of thunder there. But nothing too major at this point. Now, this file's copying. It's doing its thing. And once that's done... then we can go ahead and install. Okay. Should be just another moment here. Oh, it is drizzling out there a little bit, it sounds like. So, yeah, hopefully it won't be doing that tomorrow when I catch the bus to get to work. While this finishes, I hope everybody's enjoyed this, and I hope some people have found it beneficial. This is probably the most technical podcast I've done, and I really hope some people have found it useful. I've had a lot of requests for this, and it's something I've long wanted to do, but it's just a matter of finding time to do it and deciding what to cover and all that good stuff. Let's see how much longer we've got here.
161.2 megabytes of 253.1 megabyte, less than a minute.
Yeah, okay. So that's fine. It should be just about done. And then we'll go into ROM Manager and see about installing this. And then we'll have to... Well, we'll let the ROM Manager and the recovery do its thing, and then we'll have to flash the new boot image to update the kernel. But again, that should be real simple to do. Okay. Should be just about done here. Let's see.
216.8 megabytes of 253.1 megabyte. Less than a minute.
Okay. It's going along slow but sure. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, installing these ROMs, I actually helped a friend of mine do their Samsung Captivate a couple of weeks ago. That was only on 2.3 also, but there's a 4.2 ROM for that, and I helped him install that, and he's absolutely loving it. So it definitely can breathe new life into an older phone if there's a ROM for it. Okay, this file's done, so I'm going to do Command W to close this window.
Close window, now in desktop.
Okay, and we need to eject this, or the Mac doesn't... The Mac's not very happy if you disconnect something without ejecting it first. So we'll just go down to...
No name.
Eject. Command,
no name.
Command D to eject it. It says eject no name. Okay.
Macintosh.
And now we can just pull the USB cable, and then it should switch from the Pico TTS back to Ivona again in a second. Let's see. Once it remounts the...
Using Ivona text-to-speech HQ.
Yep. Now that it's remounted the SD card, and it's able to do that. Okay. So now, let's go ahead and go into ROM Manager, and we'll go ahead and install this. So I'm just going to swipe to the left to get to my app list.
Phone. Messaging. App drawer.
App drawer. That's all your apps. Double tap that.
Apps.
Okay, and it's probably on the second or third page, so let me swipe two fingers to the left.
Google. Drawer page 2 of 3.
Let's see.
Slacker. Wonder Radio.
Actually, it's probably on the second page. Let me go back to the
SiriusXM.
Right.
Drawer. Play music.
Yeah, there we go.
Play. ROM Manager.
There we go. ROM Manager. Let's open that. Double tap it.
Home. ROM Manager v5.5.2.3.
Okay.
Showing items 1 to 10 of 13.
So I'm just going to swipe to the right here and get down to... Actually, I could just find it on the screen. But what we want is the option to install ROM from SD card.
Install ROM from SD card.
Oh, what do you know? I went right to it. Okay.
So we double tap that.
Now we have to select the zip file. And again, you want to do these in order. Usually you would do the ROM file first. Actually, you need to do the ROM file first. Then the Google Apps file. And then if you have a TalkBack file to install the newest version, that do that last. So I'm going to use two fingers, swipe up to get... It shows all the folders first on the card and then the files. So we're going to swipe two fingers up here to get down toward the bottom.
ROM toolbox slash...
Okay.
Shu underscore CM10.120,130,519 unofficial IUCAN slash.
Oh, wait a minute. I copied the wrong thing. I copied the folder. I had a folder. I had a folder on there. I had a folder in my downloads folder when I extracted that to get the boot image out of there. And I copied that instead of the... instead of the zip file. That's why it took a little bit longer. So, no big deal. Let me just reconnect this, and we'll fix that problem.
98%, 6:14 p.m.
Let's see.
Battery
97%. Yeah, okay. So, let's go back to notifications again.
Quick settings. USB connected.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I guess I could delete that folder because I've already gotten the boot image out of it that I needed for the kernel.
Image capture.
Let me just go back in here.
No name. So open now and
delete that.
Alarms at clock.com.dci download podcast ring roams shoe under top act shoe underline CM10.12013051 unofficial IYOKAN folder.
Yeah, let's move that to the trash and let's delete that.
Top act.zip zi empty trash. Now in trash window. Preparing to empty the trash.
Yeah, and it'll take a second to delete that from the card probably.
Items to delete 80. Now in, no name.
Yeah, it took a little longer to delete from that card. Okay.
Close window.
So,
now in.
Let me go back to my downloads folder
open
on my
window.
Hard drive.
Gap stash JB shoe underline CM 10.12013051 9 unofficial IYOKAN folder.
Not that one.
Shoe underline CM 10.1-201305 dash unofficial dash IYOKAN dot zip.
That's the one I need. So
copy.
Copy that.
Close window. Macintosh, no name. Select, oh, now in, no
and
name.
And now we paste that into the no name.
Paste item, one row added. Now in, copy, window. Copying, shoe under.
Okay, and this should probably go a little bit faster, too. So, yeah. This should just take a minute, and then we'll be back on track here. And then I'll just go into my hard drive and my downloads folder and delete the zip file and the folder, because I won't need them anymore once this is installed. All right, let's see how long this is going to take.
58.7 megabytes of 165.8 megabytes, less than a minute.
Okay. I will go ahead and pause this until the copy is complete, and then we'll come back and we'll go ahead and install it. Okay. File is copied. Let me just eject my...
Macintosh, no name. Select eject, no name.
No name, that's my memory card.
Macintosh.
And unplug the cable.
Browser.
And the iPhone should come back
using
again.
Using iPhone and text-to-speech HQ. Page info.
No, somehow I opened the browser. Let me just back out of that.
Home.
Okay. All right. Now let's go back to ROM Manager and we'll try this again. That should be in my recent apps list if I just hold my home key. Let's see.
Recent. Three. Image. Settings. ROM Manager.
There we go. Let's double tap that.
Alert. New features. ROM Manager.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Test cap. Tether button. Okay button.
All right.
Manager.
So now we'll do
install ROM from SD card.
And we'll scroll to the bottom here.
ROM toolbox slot gaps JP20 shoe underscore CM10.120,130,519 unofficial IUPIN.zip.
That's what we want, so we'll double tap that.
ROM manager premium V5.
All right. Now, what it's got here then on this screen, it lists what zip files you've got so far. And there's an item there to add another zip file to the, basically to the install sequence, and that's what we're going to do here. Each time, whenever you install a new build of a ROM, you do need to install the Google Apps file also, along with any other zips, like if you have a TalkBack zip file, because remember that when you install a new build of a ROM, it formats the system partition first. So you do need to do that each time. Or you won't have the Google Apps or anything else, so you have to do them each time. So let's just swipe to the record.
Add zip.
We do add zip, which is what we want.
Install ROM from SD.
And do a two-finger swipe up a few times to get down to the bottom.
Gaps JP20,130,301 sign.zip.
Okay, that's it. That's the Google Apps file. Okay, and I have a zip file here, again, with the newest version of TalkBack. I think it's 3.3.2, so I'm going to add that as well. And again, if anybody wants a copy of that zip file to use with installing stuff, just let me know. I'll attach it and send it right off to you. It's a pretty small file. So we do. And you notice it lists the two files we've done so far. We're going to do add zip one more time. And scroll to the bottom because it lists the folders first. TalkBack zip, add that. Double tap it. Okay, so now what we've got here, it says ROM pre-installation, and it lists our three files.
ROM add-ons. Shu underscore CM10.120,130,519 unofficial IUPIN.zip.
Okay.
Gaps JP20,130,301 sign.zip. /start/gap.
And TalkBack.zip. Okay. So we don't want to add any more zips. Now, there's a couple of things here that you can also do. You can have it back up the existing ROM, which I'm not going to do. You can also have it wipe the data and cache. If you're just installing a newer build of the same ROM, like in this case, it's Cyanogen, you don't want to do that. That would do equivalent of a factory reset, and it would wipe all your apps that you've installed and everything like that. The only time you might need to do that is when you're going from one actual from one ROM to a different one. For example, if you were using Cyanogen, maybe you wanted to try AOKP or something like that, a totally different type of ROM, then you would probably need to do that, wipe the data in cache and start fresh. But in this case, of course, we don't need to do that because this is just a newer build of CyanogenMod. So we can leave all of our user data and the apps that I've installed, we can leave all that intact. So there's some options here. I'll just go ahead and show us what's here, show you what's here. Backup existing ROM.
No. Switch.
And it's set to no, which is good.
Wipe data and cache.
Wipe data and cache?
No.
We don't want to do that either, so.
Install. Reboot and install. Reboot into recovery.
So it's a reboot and install. Let me double tap that.
Alert reboot and install. Press OK to reboot into clockwork mod recovery and continue the installation.
All right.
Cancel. OK.
So I'm going to double tap OK.
Cancel. OK button.
All right, and what it has done is rebooted, and now it's going to reboot into the recovery, and it's going to basically install all of the files that we've given it, and then it's going to reboot again. Now, again, we still need to install the boot image, you know, the new kernel, so. Once it starts to reboot again, it wouldn't, if your phone, if you do install the ROM and your phone does reboot and you don't catch it in time with the old kernel still, nothing bad will happen, usually. It just may not run, you know, optimally the new ROM, you know, with the, unless you use the kernel that comes with it. So in that case, you would just simply choose to shut down and then, you know, put the phone into fast boot mode and flash it. But, what I'm going to do is once it reboots, I'm just going to pull the battery. So, we won't waste the time, you know, having it reboot one time, and then we'll flash the kernel. So, like I say, if it doesn't, if you don't make it in time, you know, and the new ROM installs and you haven't updated the kernel yet, that's fine. You know, nothing terrible will happen. Just reboot and then into fast boot and then do it. And again, with the Samsung phones, that's not an issue because the Samsung phones, the boot image is installed with the actual ROM. So, this phone is not the fastest, admittedly. The Sony Xperia Pro, it can take a few minutes for this to install. On phones like a Galaxy S3, it'll do it like in 30 seconds. It's really fast. So I'm going to pause this and let it do its thing with installing the zip files, and then we will go ahead and flash the new kernel and update that to version 3. Okay? So I will be right back with you once this install completes. All right. We are back. A few minutes have gone by. The installation has completed. And the phone has started to reboot. And again, it would boot probably with that kernel, but we want to go ahead and update that too with the boot image, you know, that came with this new ROM. So I went ahead and just pulled the battery out. Now on some new phones, of course, you won't, some of the newer ones, you may not be able to do that, because the battery's kind of built in, but, in that case, you may just have to let it boot once and then, you know, shut it down and then do this process. So, gonna go and put the battery back in here and, replace the battery cover. And now we can go ahead and update the kernel or the boot image. So to do that, and again, remember that that's not an issue for Samsung phones. If you're using a Samsung one, that is done for you. But with the Sony's and the HTC's, I'm not sure about LG, again, having never really used one, but definitely with the Sony and the HTC's, you have to do that using the Android SDK. So, okay, battery's back in, phone is switched off, and for the Sony Xperia Pro, you hold the menu key down while you plug in the USB cable. So I'm going to do that now. And again, if you have no vision at all and you can't see the screen, if you leave the phone connected, at least in Windows, you'll, even when it boots into recovery, of course, it connects to the computer, so when you hear the disconnect sound, you know it's rebooted. Yeah, the phone is done installing everything. Okay, so this should be in the fast boot mode. Let's go ahead and open up a terminal here on the Mac.
Finder.
So I have terminal down in my dock, so I'm just going to do Control F3.
Dock. So... Terminal.
Terminal, T-E-R-M, press enter.
Terminal, terminal, login.
Okay.
Interact.
And I'm going to clear the screen here so we start fresh.
E-R-R, 8C8, new line.
Okay, and whenever you open a terminal window on the Mac, it actually it starts you out in your own home directory. So I want to get to the platform tools folder underneath the Android SDK folder that's in my home folder. So I'm going to do cd
D space,
space
a
Android
D hyphen
dash
SDK hyphen
dash MACOS X and then slash
slash LAT
platform hyphen dash tools
T.
Did I get it right? Yeah.
TOOS.
Press enter.
Bedroom colon platform dash tools. Mike Arrigo dollar.
Yeah. So bedroom is the name of my computer because that's where it's at here. So here we are. We're in the platform tools folder. I've already extracted the boot.img file from this ROM file and just copied it in here. So we should be able to go ahead and update this. Now, again, on the Mac, being that it's a Unix-based operating system, we want to make sure that it looks for the file in the current folder, not in the path. So we have to do a period and a slash.
Period, slash.
Before we type fastboot. You won't have to do that on Windows. Of course, you can just type in fastboot from the command line in that platform tools folder. So we do period, slash, and then fastboot.
At T, B, O, T, space.
And flash.
S, H, space.
Boot, to tell it what partition we want to update here.
O-T, space.
And then just boot.img.
O-T, period, I-G.
Press enter.
New sending boot, bootloader, flashing.
Okay. It scrolled by a little too fast for VoiceOver to read it, so I'll just use the VoiceOver cursor and kind of read you what it said here.
Finished. Sending boot bedroom colon platform dash tools micro dollar dot slash fast boot flash boot boot dot img.
Okay.
Sending boot 7,168 kilobytes. Bootloader USB download speed was 9,186 kilobytes per second. Okay, 0.807s. Writing boot. Bootloader download buffer format boot img. Bootloader flash of partition boot requested. Bootloader S1 part ID 0x00000003, block 0x00000280x00000002E3. Bootloader erase operation complete, 0 bad blocks encountered.
That's a good thing.
Bootloader flashing. Bootloader flash operation complete. Okay, 1.424s. Finished. Total time, 2.232s. Bedroom colon.
And there we are. So it's done. It is complete, and we now have the new kernel for this ROM. Now, to reboot this, we can just type then...
period, slash, space.
Or...
period, period, slash, T, space.
Period, slash, fastboot, and then reboot.
R-E-O-T, bedroom, colon, platform, dash, tools, micro dollar.
And there we are. Actually, with the Sony phone, a lot of phones will just automatically reboot at this point. The Sony phone, it's sort of just... shuts it down. I just pulled the USB cable out, and actually we can go ahead and exit the terminal now because we're done with that. So I'll just type in exit.
EIT. Log out.
Log out. And we
process
do
completed.
And we do command Q to get out of the terminal window.
Finder.
Put that application. All right. So I am going to go ahead and press the power button on this Sony phone now. And it should boot with the new kernel and the new ROM. Let's see. Alrighty. And it'll take a minute to boot the first time because, again, when you install a new ROM, what the recovery does is it wipes the cache and it totally erases that. So it takes a minute for the operating system to rebuild that. But once it does, we should end up on the home screen with speech still because... I reinstalled the TalkBack zip file also, so that was reinstalled. If you already have TalkBack installed, even if it's in your data partition, like the newest version, even if you update the ROM, that will remain, assuming you don't wipe the data. So that's not an issue either. So it's booting and it's on the screen now that it is when it's rebuilding the cache, and once it's done. We'll go into the settings and we'll see if the About screen has updated. So, Yeah. I'll just set this here and we'll let it finish rebuilding. Some phones, again, are a little bit faster, so it'll take a little less time. But yeah, I really hope that everybody has found this useful. Again, there's no way for me to, you know, tell you how to do every single phone. So, you know, I won't be able to probably be much help. You know, if you email me and say, well, where do I get a ROM for such and such phone? It's like, well, I don't know exactly. But hopefully with the websites I've given you, you should be able to find some information or at least be able to ask about it. XDA Developers is your best bet if you're having trouble. That forum period, xda-developers.com. If there's a ROM for your phone, chances are you will find it there. And of course, then the official CyanogenMod mod page has the officially supported devices too, and there's quite a few on that. So, yeah. So unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to, you know, tell you for sure about every single phone, but hopefully, at least what I've tried to do is give you some, you know, all the general information that I can about the manufacturers of phones that I'm familiar with, and hopefully with that information, you can apply that, and then from there, you know, if you do some research and make any modifications that are needed, hopefully, you know, it'll make installing a new ROM easier. And like I say, the hardest one is the first one, you know, getting the recovery installed. That's what takes the most time. Once that's done, you can just use ROM Manager like we just did to update to a new build, and it's really easy. I wouldn't even say it's difficult. It's just the first time you do it, you know, downloading and installing everything, it's definitely something you're going to want to set a few hours aside of time to do this the first time, to install everything on your computer. And again, make sure you update your phone to the newest, you know, whatever manufacturer updates there are before you do this too, to make sure that your baseband, your radio software is up to date. This thing is still rebuilding the cache, I believe. Yes, it is. Okay. And, yeah, my Samsung phones do this a little bit faster. This phone, I think it's just about done. Screen got a little, darker. There we go. Okay. Getting ready to hopefully get to the home screen here. There we are. All right. So let's go ahead and go into settings, and we'll take a look at the about and see if this has been updated.
Showing Ignite Dumps. Help. Locked. System settings.
Okay. We'll scroll this all the way down.
Super user. Performance. About phone.
Okay. About phone. And let's check some versions here. Nice, got kernel version 3.
CPU. Navigate up.
And?
CPU. Memory. CyanogenMod version. Build date. Sunday 19th, 2136.
Sunday, May 19th. So that this has been updated successfully. So we are good to go. Got a new build on this phone now, and also got the new kernel, version 3. So, again, once you have, you know, a custom ROM installed the first time, that's how easy it is to update to a new build. And you can do that totally without sighted help. The thing that'll take the most time is downloading everything the first time and then, you know, getting your recovery installed. Doing it the first time is always, you know, the most time consuming. But, well, that is going to wrap it up. That is everything I know about installing custom ROMs on Android. This is probably the longest podcast I've ever done. I'll be interested to see how big this file size is. But that is all the knowledge I have about doing that. And again, I hope that you found it useful. If you want to contact me, would love to hear from everybody. I know this is a podcast a lot of people have asked me for, and I'm glad I finally found some time to really sit and do it for you, and I hope it was worth your while to listen to the whole thing, and I hope you gained some stuff from it. If any of you want to contact me, feel free. Email address is I gave it earlier, but it's my ham radio call sign, so it's N is in November 0OXY, so it's N0OXY at charter, charter.net. All right, everyone. Take care, and we'll hopefully talk to everybody soon. And happy flashing with your phones. Hopefully this will help some people get newer versions of Android on their phone than what they have and get rid of some of the bloatware. So, like I said, happy flashing to everybody, and we'll hopefully talk to everybody soon.